audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Sit back and enjoy this best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us. Black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We have much to talk about. Much to talk about. It's the, you know, what is this, the morning after, the night before the election is over with. Ballots are, while I will admit that ballots are still being counted, decisions are being made. And the issues that remain, that existed prior to November 2nd, remain as of today's date. I find it fascinating that the issues that were not discussed during the presidential debates, or if they were used, they were used as props or setups to get to another place. I did a word search of the debates between George W. Bush and John Kerry, and did a word search on the word black and on the word African for African American, and three times the words were used, and they were used primarily as a setup or criticism for the other person, but not to facilitate any discussion about the real issue of race in this country and the real issue of how race impacts on the decisions that are made in this country negatively, and what the parties are going to do about that ever-existing issue. Poverty was another word that rarely made it to the discussion in terms of what's going to be done about it, or even what it is. And those of us that see, and those of us that understand, and those of us that are concerned need to understand that and embrace the responsibility that we have, that politics doesn't simply exist on presidential election days. Politics exists 24/7. 365 days a year. So, in order, however, to have these discussions, we really need to be empowered with, armed with, knowledgeable about the facts of the specific issues. Poverty is the issue that we are going to be addressing this morning. And to help facilitate that conversation, I have with me Derek Spann, the national president of the Community Action Partnership, joining us from Maryland. Derek, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Derek, poverty. Yesterday, I was reading a Newsweek magazine, and it was a glossy, beautiful magazine all about luxury in America. And it talked about how luxury item spending is off the chart. People that want multi-million dollar boats are waiting 2 to 3 years to get their boats built because of all of the orders. People are spending $2,000 for purses, and luxury spending has really hasn't been higher. So, I mean, we're talking about since the 80s, people have not spent as much money on luxury items. And at the other end, we're hearing stories and discussions about the extraordinary poverty that exists in America. How can this be so? How can it be so that we have this kind of luxury obsession and spending and poverty be what it is?
Well, I think that you're quite right. America remains the richest nation in the industrialized world. We are, in fact, the most powerful nation industrialized world. And I think, in addition to that, we're not only the richest nation, but we also have the largest gap between the rich and poor. And so there is a strange kind of economic divide in the nation. And indeed, we are moving toward being a nation of rich and poor.
Well, what does our fixation on bling-bling stuff prevent us from seeing and knowing about poverty in this country?
Well, it is difficult to see poverty at times in the midst of an affluent nation and in the midst of an affluent society. Oftentimes, as Michael Harrington had written in his book, The Other America, oftentimes the poor is invisible, and in fact he referred to the poor as being invisible because the fact that there's so much wealth around that oftentimes the poor are just simply not seen.
And also, aren't we we have an economy that is driven by what we purchase?
And correct. It obviously again. is a nation that is now divided into three classes of Americans. There's the first class society, that's the society that you're sort of making reference to, the rich, the powerful, those who are able to purchase things. There's the coach society, that's the, those of us who are in the middle class, and there's the cargo society. That's the poor. That's the working poor. And so our nation is now divided into a kind of airline economics. Mm. First class, coach, and cargo. And that's where America finds itself at this hour, with three classes of Americans in a kind of airline stratification, economic stratification.
Well, make it clear for us. Talk to us about what life is like in riding in the cargo section of the American economy.
Actually, what has occurred in the nation now, you have three distinct faces of poverty that have emerged. There's what we call the traditional face of poverty. That's the chronically unemployed, the chronically homeless. The individuals who beg for dollars for dinner by day while searching out corners and crates by night. These are the individuals who are often veterans of war, mentally ill, the individuals who've had some brush with the law, but for whatever reason they languish on the sidewalks of our cities. We call them the traditional faces of poverty. And then there is something that we call the contemporary face of poverty. And that's the working poor. That's the individuals who are America's aberration, America's phenomenon. And the reason that we call them America's aberration and America's phenomenon is because you're not supposed to be able to say working and poor in the same breath in the richest nation in the world. And yet these individuals work full-time jobs and they're paid these part-time wages. They work...
And non-livable wages.
And non-livable wages. They work in a first-world nation bringing home third world wages. Mm. They work in hospitals and banks when there's only, you know, they can't actually be in the same beds or get in the same beds in the hospital should they get sick, and yet they work there because they have no health insurance. They count our money at the bank, but there's only about $2 in their own bank account.
If they're able to get a bank account.
If they're able to get one. And these are the individuals who do some of the most important jobs in our society, but we call it menial labor. And the reason that we call, and the truth of the matter is that the work isn't really menial at all. What's menial is the salary that employers attach to the work. And these individuals are the victims of welfare to work. And the reason that we call them the victims of welfare to work is because they are the ones, many of them were expunged from the welfare rolls President Clinton was in office, and through the individual in 1996, the Individual Responsibility Act, when the welfare rolls were expunged, and certainly we all concurred that that was a good thing to have individuals be able to leave the welfare rolls and to create freedom from welfare. But what we did, we created freedom and economic famine at the same time.
Well, no, they didn't happen. That's one of those, like, leave no child behind types of phraseologies. They didn't do what they said that it was going to do.
Well, it was never designed to pull people out of poverty. And what it did, it placed more emphasis on getting people off of welfare and no emphasis on helping them fare well after they got off. And so there was really no intent to lift people out of poverty, just simply expunge the welfare rolls.
And it also provided for a endless opportunity for politicians to point to something to say that they did.
Correct. And also an endless pool of unprotected workers or employers to exploit by hiring them, paying them substandard wages, but also having them under threat to continue the work or be sanctioned and lose their benefits as a result of not going to work. And so they were really in this sort of rather cataclysmic condition and situation as workers are not protected, no chance for upward mobility, no health insurance, no other kind of benefits, no retirement, and yet forced to work or be sanctioned.
And we haven't talked about the child care component, because they're not well, first of all, the gender of the people that we're talking about being taken off of welfare and put into this work market that allows them to be exploited, we're talking about mostly women, are we not?
That's correct.
And what's the percentage of women that we're talking about?
Well, you're talking about close to maybe 35, maybe close to 40% of them being women, and a number of them single, obviously.
With children?
With children.
So we're not just making the women vulnerable and easy opportunities for exploitation. We're talking about children are now less safe as a result of this.
That's correct. That's correct. And so what we have is a situation where we have this contemporary base of poverty and perhaps all over Missouri and certainly all over St. Louis and in other states around the nation, you have these individuals who are the victims of welfare to work. And these aren't lazy individuals. These are individuals that go to work every single day and work hard. And oftentimes on my way to work, or I'm on my way to the airport taking an early flight or something, I see them standing on the bus stop before the sun is up, waiting to go to their various jobs, and oftentimes returning home very late at night. So these aren't the incorrigible leeches on society. These are hard-working individuals who simply can't pull themselves out of poverty because of wages that are so low.
Yeah.
Those are the individuals we call the temporary face of poverty, but there's one other face of poverty.
And I'd like you to hold that thought, please, because we have to take a break.
Okay.
I'm talking to Derek Spann, National President of the Community Action Partnership, joining us from Maryland, and we're talking about poverty, and we're talking about after the election, the problems and the challenges that exist, continue to exist. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz is out ill today. Irene J. Smith will be in at the top of the hour to run the rest of the Wake-Up Call for this Monday morning. So stick around for more of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Good morning, St. Louis. 27 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tahiti Village. Westbound 70 at Bermuda, there's reports of tractor trailer. Its tires are on fire. Only the left lane is getting by, and traffic slows near Lucas and Hunt. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79 at Traffic's Building. Northbound 270 is slowing on either side of 44. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270. Look for congestion mainly in the right lanes as you exit off of 55 onto 270. From eastbound 44 through 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 at 367 and New Forest, and everything's on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is looking good into the landing. Northbound Route 3 is flowing freely off that ramp into the Poplar Street Bridge. And westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, and you expect no delays at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples complimentary 3-day, 2-nights hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS. That's 877-57-VEGAS. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy to mostly cloudy throughout the day today with a high in the upper 60s. This evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers, low in the mid-50s. Tuesday, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high in the mid-60s. Then on Wednesday, showers are likely with a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have clouds and 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 56. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the best of segment for this hour. Liz is out ill today. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her beginning at the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Radio Mix. Nuevo concepto en radio. La música que te gusta. El torneo que te encanta. Por la nueva de San Luis. Con todos los éxitos del momento. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8 de la noche. Radio Mix. Por el 920 AM. Escucha a través de la red electrónica. En internet. WGNU.net. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
And Liz Brown is out ill today. She will be back in the studio beginning at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. But up next, we have Irene J. Smith coming in at the 7 o'clock hour. Right now, it's more of the best of the wake-up call on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. We are broadcasting, as we do every day, live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Also, Liz Brown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. We are talking this morning to Derek Spann, the national president of the Community Action Partnership, joining us from Maryland. Derek, welcome back.
Thank you.
You were talking about the third level of poverty.
Yeah, that's one of the most important faces, and actually one of the faces that is often never considered by the census. The last face of poverty is what we call the future face of poverty.
Mm.
That happens to be the middle class. That's individuals who are one, two, maybe three paychecks away from slipping below the American dream. They are the individuals who, in fact, are one injury from a starless midnight of utter destitution. And these are the individuals who make up about 70 million Americans who are facing the shadows of poverty. And indeed, more than the vast majority of people, I should say, now filing bankruptcy happen to be middle-class Americans married with children. More married middle-class Americans will file bankruptcy by the end of this year, according to Elizabeth Warren, noted Harvard professor. More middle-class families married with children will file bankruptcy this year than will be diagnosed with cancer.
Mm.
More middle-class Americans married with children will file bankruptcy by the end of this year than will graduate from colleges and universities. And so it is the middle class that finds itself facing declining wages, facing a stock market that's stable but a dollar that's losing value, facing job loss, outsourcing of jobs, and those jobs that are being replaced are paying half the salaries that those that were lost were paying.
Well, Derek, I read an article a few years back about a phenomenon that is happening here in St. Louis. We have an area that's considered fairly affluent, or at least middle class, West County. And a phenomenon that's occurring in West County is people that live in these big houses with no furniture and the inability to feed their children. We have food pantry banks that are delivering food to these big houses in brown paper bags so that people are not ashamed of the fact that they cannot feed their children or themselves. So we have this shame factor going on that people don't want you to know. People that are that live in West County don't want you to know that they are in poverty.
Right.
How do you advocate for this huge group of people? Because it doesn't seem like they're going to advocate for themselves because they don't want anybody to know that they're in that situation.
That's true. And in a minute, we'll talk a little bit about why we have to redefine poverty and why we have to begin to have a paradigm shift on the question of poverty. You're quite right that there are individuals, more middle-class families now, are now applying for assistance and getting free lunches for their children. And so the shadow of poverty is spreading across the middle class. I should also say, in addition to that, we have found in our community action network individuals who do live in affluent communities that are now coming to community action seeking some form of assistance. And so while mortgage rates have sort of sparked home ownership, families that live in those homes are no longer able to save.
Mm.
Savings accounts are at an all-time low.
They have homes, but they have nothing in their bank accounts.
They have nothing in their bank account. Because savings accounts are again, at an all-time low. Disposable income is nearly null and void. 401ks are being eaten up by child care, insurance, and other kinds of things. So savings and what was called a golden parachute after one or a golden nest egg or a golden parachute after one is supposed to be able to quit work is simply null and void. And now when you add these 70 million Americans with the other 36 million Americans who are the working poor and the traditional face of poverty, you have nearly 110 million Americans who are either living in poverty or standing close to its shore. And that is a major, major crisis that's growing in the nation. Cancer is really America's silent tumor that is becoming a very deadly tumor in the body politic, silently growing, tragically unnoticed, and tragically ungrappled with.
So, what do we do? You talked about having to redefine poverty. What do you mean by that, and how will that impact on this silent problem, this invisible problem?
Well, consider this. Consider this. If there was still a debtor's prison, nearly 100 million Americans would be in jail. If there was still a debtor's prison, the vast majority of the middle class, certainly all of the working poor, and all of the traditional face of poverty would find themselves in jail. That's close to between 100 and 110 million Americans that would be in prison at this hour. That's a tragic problem.
That's a crisis.
It is. What is new are these three faces of poverty. That's a new development in the nation, because now it includes a large majority of the middle class. What's not new is the national attitude toward poverty. There's still the feeling that if you are poor, you have some inherent defect, a kind of laziness, you're uninspired, there's a low self-esteem. So for many in the nation, poverty is caused by some pathological tendency in the individual. And that's the reason why a number of individuals who live in affluent communities refuse to get help, because they are operating out of this notion that there must be something wrong with them, or certainly the nation or society will think something
exactly
wrong with them.
Exactly.
If in fact they admit that a structural condition has actually caused their economic collapse and not something defective in them.
And we're going to have to take a break. I'm talking to Derek Spann, the national president of the Community Action Partnership, joining us from Maryland, talking about poverty and the faces of poverty. Oh, my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about. Get to us.
So the Bible says.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is out today. She will be in tomorrow morning. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her beginning at the 7 o'clock hour. More of the best of the Wake Up Call following these messages right here on AM 920 WGNU.
St. Louis, this is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Paula Sela is a real Geico customer, not an actor. So to help tell her story, we hired that announcer guy from the movies.
When the storm hit, both our cars were totally underwater.
In a world where both of our cars were totally underwater,
we thought it would take forever to get some help.
But a new wind was about to blow.
With Geico, we had our check in 2 days.
Payback. This time, it's for real.
Geico. Real service, real savings.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
Single female, in search of companionship, male or female.
Must be willing to give and receive unconditional love. Must be affectionate, playful, cuddly, willing to be by my side through good times and bad. Not run away when they see what I look like in the morning. Must be willing to cheer me up after a rough day. Likes to go for long walks or runs. One to sit by my side while I watch a movie that makes me cry. A companion that will be there when I get home and be excited to see me when I walk in the door. A companion that won't judge me or take me for granted. I know you're out there. I just wish dogs could read.
To find the companion of your dreams, go to www.strayrescue.org to find out about weekly adoption events, volunteer opportunities like foster parenting, dog walking, fundraising, and more. Stray Rescue of St. Louis is a non-for-profit organization operating two no-kill shelters in the St. Louis area. For more information, call 314-771-6121 or go to www.strayrescue.org.
Veterans Care, giving veterans the health insurance they need. Veterans Care, providing veterans with the coverage they deserve.
Veterans Care is a new state health insurance program for Illinoisans who have served their country. Veterans Care provides affordable medical, dental, and vision insurance coverage. It's open to uninsured vets who meet certain income guidelines, including those who are not eligible for coverage from the federal VA.
For more information, visit IllinoisVeteransCare.com or call 1-877-4-VETS-RX.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown is out ill today. She will be back first thing tomorrow morning. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her beginning in the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
What you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you planned. Dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you to. Down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net or Liz Brown, LizzBrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to us. We're talking to Derek Spann, the national president of the Community Action Partnership, joining us from Maryland, and we're talking about poverty. Derek, what is the Community Action Partnership?
Community Action Partnership is the largest poverty fighting network in the country. We came into being with Johnson School Poverty Program 40 years ago. And when President Johnson declared war on poverty, he enacted these sort of ground troops and placed them in communities called Community Action Agencies throughout the country. And the community action agencies specifically are those poverty-fighting agencies located in 95% of our counties across the nation. About 1,000 community action agencies around the nation. We run about 70% of all the Head Start programs and a number of anti-poverty programs. And there in your own St. Louis, you have the Human Development Corporation, whose director is Ruth Smith. That's your community action agency there in the St. Louis area.
Mm. Let's take a couple of calls here. Aline, you have a question or comment for our guest, Derek Spann.
Yes, my comment, my question is basically a question comment. I agree with everything you're saying about poverty, but I also my personal belief is that sometimes people make individual personal choices, such as with myself, and I'm only using myself. I've had many opportunities, but I, because of some personal bad habits and some personal decisions, I put myself in the path of poverty. Thank you.
And how do you speak to that, Derek, about individuals that say it's my fault?
And there are individuals who do, in fact, make choices and decisions that adversely affect their economic situation. But consider that 31% of the people who are living in poverty are actually below the age of 18. And when you start to look at children who are 8...
What choices did they make?
7, 6, 5, 4. They didn't make any kind of choices, in fact. And so in some sense, poverty can be a result of a decision that one has made, but all too often, in the significant number of people who do live in poverty, it wasn't a choice. It was something that was placed upon them, a burden that was assigned to them, as opposed to something that they chose.
Well, we don't have the same willingness to affix blame with businesses that make bad decisions. And I mean, we have airlines going to the government with their hands out, it seems like, every month because of bad decisions that they've made, asking for more money. Why is that? Why do we seem to be comfortable with a business going back 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 times?
Because corporations largely are viewed with a kind of admiration.
And people are not.
And respect as opposed to human individuals whose society believes have individual responsibilities to make sure that they survive. That's based really on a 15th century thought, English thought pattern that this kind of rugged individualism is what is important to have.
Bootstraps.
And that individuals who are poor, some deserve to be helped, and others, and some don't deserve to be helped. But the real way to live is a kind of rugged individualism that's based upon a 15th century, a 15th century English thought pattern toward economics. What we must do is shift the nation from that kind of 15th century thought pattern to a 21st century view of poverty.
And that's what you mean by redefining what poverty is.
The first thing we have to do...
And we have about 5 minutes here.
It began to shape poverty as not a political issue, but a moral issue. There's disagreement on how the poverty came into existence, the causes and solutions to impoverishment, but there can be no disagreement about the imperative to confront this issue. Particularly if we're professing to be a Judeo-Christian country founded upon values, which this last election was predicated on.
Poverty wasn't the moral issues that was used.
And if we're going to have an allegiance to a Judeo-Christian ethic or our founding principles, we're going to have to come to see that poverty is a moral issue as well.
Let's take another call question here. Lois, you have a question or comment?
Yes, good morning to both of you all.
Good morning.
I'm 62 years old, and I'm in poverty. Up until the last year, I was doing real good. But you ever study a poverty that was thrust upon you because of racism and discrimination? I lost my job last year with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers because I was such a good worker. And my boss loved me, but these three white women did not. And they, when he retired, they worked to get me out of there. And because I was a contractor, I didn't have any kind of protection. And they took a year and a half to get rid of me. And that was in July of 2003. And, of course, I lost everything.
Thank you.
And I sank into poverty. And do you ever know about the emotional effect that, you know, that you become poor because of racism and discrimination?
Thanks for your call and question, Lois,
okay.
Because we have 3 minutes left here. Derek, the impact of racism on people's living in poverty.
There can be no denial that, unfortunately, the cancer of racism still exists in the nation and still leaves indelible scars upon those who are the victims of it. There can be no denying that. I want to add in these closing moments that we are moving around the country collecting 1 million signatures now, calling for a White House conference on American poverty. You can go to our website and begin to sign the petition. We're trying to get 1 million signatures across the nation to begin to move toward calling for the first ever White House conference on American poverty.
We've never had a White House conference on poverty before.
There's never been a White House conference on American poverty. And in fact, there hasn't been any legislation aimed at eradicating poverty in the last 40 years since the Economic Opportunity Act of 1964. And so we would ask your listening audience, if they would, to go to our website, www.communityactionpartnership.com, and sign the petition as we try to collect 1 million signatures across the country.
Derek, I'm just sitting here flabbergasted. There has been no legislation directed at poverty in 40 years?
Not in 40 years. No legislation specifically aimed at eliminating poverty in 40 years.
How many Americans do you think know that?
Well, we hope that a few of them will know that now.
No, they'll know that now, but I mean, that is astounding. That is absolutely astounding, and it certainly tells us, it tells us where we are about the issue of poverty.
Not since the Economic Opportunity Act of 1964 has there been any legislation aimed at significantly reducing poverty.
One more question or comment.
Hello?
Yes, quickly, please.
I have to agree with what Brother Lee did call it about poverty. I do know, I mean, instead of people saying that it's a 15th century attitude about getting yourself together and doing something about it, I think anybody who can analyze the poverty situation, we can look at it from entrepreneurship and use an all-inclusive type of unity among our people to solve our own problems. Yes, I know all the problems with
okay, we're going to have to let that be the last observation, Derek. Again, that's the type of mindset that challenges us, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the definition of what poverty is and the causes for poverty. Derek Spann, the national president of the Community Action Partnership, please give us your website again.
www.communityactionpartnership.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back next hour. We'll be talking to Rosetta Keaton of Connect Care to talk about...
And you're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is out today. She will be back tomorrow morning. Irene J. Smith will be coming in here momentarily to take care of the last 3 hours of this Monday edition of the Wake Up Call. So stick around for more of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory.
There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
That matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's back to work for most Americans today, but it's a good bet that not everything done at your office computer will be business. This is Cyber Monday. The nation's retailers are hoping that you'll spend at least a little time online shopping. Ellen Davis with the National Retail Federation says most stores don't care how you shop, as long as you shop with them.
The Internet does bring a new level of competition to the retail industry because it's much easier to compare prices and research products. But most retail stores are extremely comfortable using the Internet themselves to bring in a different type of shopper.
About 61 million of us will use the Internet to do that today, and most sites will offer some kind of a discount. There was a real scare for the holiday shopping crowd in Skowhegan, Maine. Two homemade acid bombs went off Saturday afternoon inside a crowded Walmart. The blast sent shoppers running for the exits. At least eight people received minor injuries. Joel Davis with Maine State Fire Marshal's Office.
We've had people hurt with these. We had a police officer in a town that had one of these go off inside his vehicle, and it blinded him temporarily, and he lost part of his hearing.
Two teenage boys are under arrest. Air Force One is jetting the president off on another foreign trip.
His destination is Northern Europe, but this week's diplomacy is all about war in Iraq and Afghanistan. At a NATO summit here in the Baltics, President Bush meets with allies who have 32,000 NATO troops in worsening combat in Afghanistan. Later, in the relative safety of Amman, Jordan, President Bush will urge Iraq's embattled prime minister to seize greater control in Baghdad.
ABC's Ann Compton in Tallinn, Estonia. It didn't take long for the violence to resume after Iraqi officials lifted a three-day curfew on Baghdad. A gunman opened fire on a crowded street today, killing six people. The U.S. military says one of its fighter jets has crashed in Iraq with one pilot on board. It's looking into the matter. This is ABC News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Started as a friendly wager between two friends, and it ended with one of them's death. Here's ABC's Daniela Bellotta.
Two good buddies bet on the outcome of the annual rivalry college football game between South Carolina and Clemson, as heard here on ESPN-TV. Police say they drank a lot of beer, and after the game, they started arguing about the wager. James Quick, unhappy he lost, went to his car, got a rifle he normally uses for hunting, and fired one shot. It hit his friend Richard Johnson in the chest, killing him. Police say they found Quick leaning against his car parked outside Johnson's house, arrested him, and charged him with murder. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
Well, admit it, you've called in sick to work at least once in your career when you felt just fine. CareerBuilder.com says about a third of us have taken what we refer to as mental health days to catch up on sleep or maybe even simply relax. Well, this might surprise you. Most bosses say they're aware of it, and as long as it doesn't become a habit, they're all right with it. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Sears Auto Centers. A St. Louis County police officer is already out of the hospital after an overnight shooting and standoff, and the suspect accused of shooting at the officer is dead. Police suspect the shot officer say the suspect shot the officer shortly before 11 last night, then barricaded himself in a home at Weber and Runyon. After several hours, police got the suspect out of the house by using tear gas. He allegedly pointed his gun at officers who opened fire and killed him. The survivor of the train versus an SUV accident that killed three people is improving in an area hospital. The 12-year-old girl has been upgraded from critical to serious condition. 43-year-old Tina Porter, her daughter, 13-year-old Alyssa Porter, and 13-year-old Donna Calvert were killed 1 week ago when their SUV was struck by an oncoming train in Main Street of Marissa. A North County woman is dead after a hit-and-run accident in Florissant. Police say 79-year-old Juanita Jacobsmeyer was pulling out of a grocery store parking lot on Lindbergh sometime after 7 last night when she was hit by an oncoming car. The driver of that car fled on foot but was caught several hours later. There's no word on any charges at this hour. A St. Louis man is dead after an off-road motorcycle accident in Washington County. Missouri Highway Patrol says 31-year-old Christopher McCammy was driving in the Hazel Creek campground early Sunday morning when he hit a rock and was thrown from his motorcycle. There's no word on whether McCammy was wearing a helmet. And finally, today is Cyber Monday, online retailers' first big day of the holiday shopping. Attorney General Jay Nixon says if you use a secure websites and take steps to protect your information, you shop online. Nixon suggests making sure you have a complete description of the items you're buying, including warranty information, complaint procedures, and return policies. He also says that federal law protects you if you need to dispute charges on a credit card, but those protections don't apply on debit cards or other forms of payment. That is a look at this hour's news. This hour's news has been sponsored by Sears Auto Centers. Give yourself a gift of tires right now. Get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See stores for details. The sale ends on Christmas Eve. It's 12:24:06. Now, taking a look at your WGNU traffic, this hour's traffic is sponsored by Preparation H. Westbound 70 at Bermuda, an earlier tractor-trailer fire has been cleared from the traffic lanes. Traffic jams through Union should be easing in a little while here. Northbound 55 at Herculaneum and McNutt, there's an accident reported. Left lane blocks, and the traffic's jamming near a mile long at this hour. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from the Chrysler plant through Merrimack River Bridge, look for heavy volume there. Northbound 270 from 55 through 44, expect slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, congestion mainly in the right lane, looking to get off on those exit ramps. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from 367 through New Florissant, delays are possible. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for congestion going on there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit through the Cleats Landing, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, you can expect some slow traffic at the top of those ramps. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies, a high in the upper 60s. This evening, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers. Lows should be in the mid-50s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers with a high in the mid-60s. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy, once again, a chance of showers, low in the mid-50s. And on Wednesday, showers are likely, chance of thunderstorms even, with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 56 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 57 and clouds as well. Liz Brown is out ill today. Instead, we will have Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown. That comes up next with the wake-up call. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. But up next, it's the wake-up call with special guest host Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown. Liz Brown will be back in the studio beginning tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Up next, more of the Wake Up Call with Irene J. Smith, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. Nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows the turkey and the mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight.
Oh, good morning, good morning. This is Irene J. Smith. I'm sitting in for Liz, who is still under the weather. She's coming along, doing a little better, but not quite ready to take the high seat again. I hope you all had a blessed and enjoyable Thanksgiving. I hope you were able to share with loved ones and those who were not loved ones. We're coming back here. It looks like we're going to have some nice weather Monday through Wednesday and then old Thursday. What a difference a week makes. It's supposed to be freezing rain and down in the 30s. My. So much has been going on since I last talked with you. I think that was on Thursday, the Thursday before Thanksgiving. And so much is going on in our fair city. Crime is on the rise. And it's interesting that nothing seems to be said about it. We had the article regarding the classification of our city as the number one most dangerous city in the country. And I don't know whether ratings are relevant or not, but I guess if you live in the city of St. Louis, I think you ought to be if you are not concerned about the conditions that exist in our city. All right, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Yeah. The 25th anniversary tour of Cats is coming to your hometown.
If I have pheasant, I'd rather have grass.
It's the original magical musical.
Oh, well, I never was there ever.
It's a memory to last 9 lifetimes. Don't miss your chance to introduce your family to the wonders of live theater with the magic, the mystery, the memory of the Cats 25th Anniversary Tour. See it live on stage, then take the memory home forever with the Universal Studios home video. Coming to the Fox Theater December 27th through 31st. Tickets on sale now at MetroTix. Presented by the U.S. Bank Broadway Series. It's your last chance to see the 25th anniversary tour of Cats.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning morning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy.
All right, little Anthony and the Imperials. Well, he was doing his thing long before I was a big girl. But that's little Anthony and the Imperials. Man, we have so much violence raging throughout our country. We just had a very sad situation take place in New York, according to headlines and according to news accounts. One of the officers thought at least one man in the group had a weapon and was expected to be transporting it back to a club. And so you just fire off 50 bullets at one vehicle. Of course, this was a bachelor's party. The young man that was killed was to be married later that day. And man, oh man. And we're worried about Iraq and things that are going on in Afghanistan, as we should be, very concerned. But are we at war in our own streets in this country? We are witnessing almost on a daily basis individuals throughout our community being killed and killing each other. Oh, where is the police? Where, oh, where is the safety in our community? And you look at this New York situation, and it's going to be interesting as the story further unfolds. The officer's version of the shooting came on a day when he and four other officers involved in the shooting were put on paid administrative leave. The police are offering few details. I guess you've got to get your story straight before you come out with your version of what transpired. But one thing we know for certain is that no weapons was found in the Altima. And that's the vehicle in which the young man, Sean Bell, was riding in. What we do know for certain is that 50 bullets, according to news accounts, was shot at the silver Nissan Altima that Sean Bell was riding in. This is a reoccurring situation throughout our community. And parallel to that is the reoccurring situation throughout our community where we have our own, killing our own, people ravaging communities. So we are, those of us who are law-abiding, we stand between those police officers that are rogues and unable to check their authority, and we are in the middle of those individuals in our community who would assault our community and sometimes do it with immunity. So I'm going to go to the phone lines. Everybody wants to talk about crime this morning. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. How you doing?
I'm really blessed this morning. You know, I can see, I can hear, I can smell, I can move about.
Yeah, that's a blessing.
So I'm truly blessed, and I still have, I believe, a presence of a sound, at least fairly sound mind.
Yes, I am blessed in that way too, but I was so just disturbed about the 13-year-old this weekend.
Driving the vehicle.
Yes. I said, I looked and looked at the mother, and we had three little young girls around that age yesterday who joined our church, and I went back to the little boy. I said, what can we do, Irene? What is some solution?
And I think that's what it's about. Ms. West, you live in our ward, so we're in the process of putting together something that will address that all can be involved, that we will hopefully work in partnership with the leaders of our community to address this situation. And it's a multifaceted one, and I am not going to attempt to lay the blame solely at the feet of the police department. However, it is quite interesting to me that in this city of ours, as we heard all sorts of criticism of our former African-American chief of police, that we have not heard not one criticism of the current chief of police and the city administration relative to the crime that is raging through our community. So therefore, it is incumbent upon us to come up with solutions and to work to see that, number one, we certainly receive our fair share of police protection, and two, that we do everything that we can within our power to provide activities and structure and direction and guidance to our young people who are continuously, it appears, becoming involved in violent behavior.
We must, because our block that we have been riding and we have been challenging the chief of police and our captain up here with our alderman, and we are trying to get together up here. We even write letters to our congressman. Help us. We need some help.
We need a great deal of help, and the time is more ripe than ever for us to get involved, first of all, to certainly demand adequate police protection, but at the same time to also structure other mechanisms for addressing the fact that you have a 13-year-old driving a vehicle and a car full of young children,
yes.
Basically. They're kids.
Well, look at this. The shooting up on, what's that, Lillian and Union. It was just disturbing. I said, here we are.
And we've had yet another one this morning.
This morning,
we had a shooting this morning, I believe, somewhere, I do not know, the 100, somewhere on Lexington. But the fact of the matter is we can easily describe the result of the crime that exists in our community. We can easily point out the behavior. And so the question becomes, what will we as community working in conjunction with the city do to address these problems?
We must. I look at them going to school. I said, once they were beautiful little babies, something happened.
Well, one thing for sure, I think that we as adults, we have to be held responsible for what is coming on. Someone indicated that the shooting that happened this morning is in the 4400 block of Lexington that occurred earlier this morning. So it is important that, as I said, is that we have to step forward because these are our children, this is our community, and we have a responsibility. But at the same time, along with our responsibility, it is a collective responsibility of this community, our local government, to address this issue.
That is very true, very true. We got to stop the blame game. We got to come out here and help.
We have to help, but we have to establish and analyze what has transpired thus far. Thank you, Ms. West. I hope you had a very good Thanksgiving.
Oh, I did. All my relatives and all my friends, I'm just eating. I got food for days. I put it in the freezer. I didn't turn nothing away.
You didn't turn anything away.
Yeah.
Well, I still have a lot left. I cooked quite a bit.
You did?
Yeah, that's the holiday.
Left.
I didn't cook any black eyed peas. I fixed crowd of peas and okra.
You got some left?
I think my daughter took care of that last night when she came in from work.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Miss Smith. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm good. I'm good, Mac. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Talk to me.
You're speaking on a good subject this morning. Crime. Crime. I was looking at the ladies on TV this morning, the mother of the 13-year-old. They wouldn't allow her to see her son in the hospital until she went to Channel 2 News, and then they allowed her 30 minutes to go in and see him.
Mm-hmm.
This crime is, like the lady said, it's got to be done because it's running rampant.
It is running rampant.
You can spot crime by just looking at, you can look at a lot of these kids and you see them daily walking the streets. You know they should have been in school, but they done dropped out of school. They haven't finished school. They have not, because, unless they rocket scientists, because they are not old enough to have finished the 12th grade, a lot of them. And you feel sorry for them because you know which way they headed. You know where they going. They either going to the penitentiary, if they lucky to get there, or they going to the cemetery. Some of them, the kids, going to beat this epidemic. They going to come out real respectful. It's not all of these kids. It's just a few of them. We got a lot of good kids in this neighborhood.
Of course we do.
And the mothers, I tell people, we have mothers that have kids. kids that don't understand. Now, if you notice, this 13-year-old, I think he punted a play gun at the police, they say.
The police wouldn't be in a position to know that it was a play gun.
Right.
Though.
Well, we don't have three or four instances. Well, anyway, about the play gun thing, it's a little boy lived next door to me. He bought a play gun. I'd taken the gun away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had confrontation with his cousin. You know, you can't take his gun. I've been knowing the little boy ever since he's a little kid. I'm looking at him in the alley, Miss Smith, putting these guns upside each other's head. These kids is 12 years old.
You know, and they're demonstrating, Mac, they're demonstrating things that they see on television. But, you know, where is the balance? There's so much. There's so much. If you want to hold on, I can wait till after the break to get back with you. This is 9:20 a.m. WGNU. This is the Liz Brown Show. Liz is still under the weather. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We'll be back after the break.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your local REMAX office. Northbound 55 at Herculane and McNutt, there's an accident there. Left lane's blocked. Traffic jams for about a mile. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler through Merrimack River Bridge. You've got heavy traffic there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Big Bend. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270. Congestion's cleared. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Mason. Look for heavy volume there. Westbound 270 at 367 in New Florissant. Delays are possible. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge. We've got slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow into the Laclede's Landing and in both directions between Manchester and on Manchester between 270 and Baxter. Look for traffic lights not working. Expect delays there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your local REMAX office. Looking to buy or sell a home? Search with REMAX at REMAX.com. They have millions of listings and outstanding agents, so you will have outstanding results. Visit them today at REMAX.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy day, high in the upper 60s. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low around the mid-50s, a chance of showers. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers with a high in the mid-60s. And Wednesday, showers likely, a chance of thunderstorms even with a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have cloudy skies, 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds in 56. Liz Brown is out ill today. However, we have the Beaumont graduate herself, Miss Irene J. Smith, filling in for her. She's up next on the wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Many times, many ways.
All right. Well, you know, Christmas is coming. I don't know about any Santa, but Christmas certainly is coming. And this is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is under the weather. And this is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. We're here at 9:20 a.m. If you want to reach us, our contact numbers are 454-0400. Long distance, 877-920-WGNU. Or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Before the break, Mac on Crime was talking to us about his view about the current situation in the city of St. Louis and this rage of crime that we are presently dealing with. Go ahead, Mac. Finish up your thoughts.
And I said to the people who have this community about this community. When you go into these neighborhood stores and you see these water guns, for sale, talk to the manager. We don't need water guns. And parents, stop buying your kids water guns. If you notice your three-year-old baby, when he got a water gun, he do not point it at a building. He points it at you. These kids are smart. The little kid on my street, I remember when they used to play with water guns. A few weeks ago, one shot the other one in the face with a BB gun.
Hmm.
Now, what parents would allow their kids to have a BB gun in the city?
Hmm.
We don't need no type of gun in your household, parents, for your kids. There's too many educational toys out here.
You know, Mac, I guess people would say, well, when I was coming up, we had my uncles my younger uncles, I grew up with them, basically, and they had, you know, guns. Of course, they played cowboys and so-called Indians because we didn't have the understanding to know that those were our ancestors and they should be referred to as Native Americans. But they'll say, well, we had guns and we had little BB guns and we made cap guns and pop guns. But I think the supervision was greater. I think there was not a great deal of violence that was glamorized on television, in the movies, in music videos, and in music. So therefore, there was not this overemphasis that was placed on violence. Moreover, during that time, we did not have a president that made a determination to make a preemptive strike against a sovereign nation to go in and basically invade their country by brute force. So we have all these factors going on, and together I think it does create a climate when parents do have to question themselves as to whether or not they should buy their child a weapon. Store owners certainly have the right to sell whatever items that they please. Just as we have a program that says, you know, bring in the guns or buy back the guns. Perhaps those of us in the community that do not want the store owners to display these guns, perhaps we'll just go into the store and let's buy those guns, okay? Let's buy those guns and get a commitment from them that they will not restock those type of weapons in their store until we get some kind of control on the crime, particularly the shootings that are occurring in our community.
But what I tell the owners when I try to tell them to take them off, I tell them this. That water gun going to turn into a real gun is going to come back in this store and hunt you.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what's going to happen. And speaking of your president, I heard him make a statement the other day. Do they think that President Bush is jank? You know, this man died over there in Hawaii that had an accident on the motorcycle. The spaceship went down. Texas caught on fire. We had him here in a motorcade here in the city of St. Louis. Two officers on motorcycles had a wreck. So me, I have always thought that the man was had some kind of janky spell, not being in his bed. Thank you, Miss Brown.
I'm not Miss Brown. I'm just sitting in for Miss Brown, Mac. So you, Mac thinks that the president carries with him some kind of jinx that he puts on the locations or the people of the areas that he visits. I don't know about that, Mac, but what I do know is that valuable resources of this country are being have been wasted on destroying lives in Iraq, and that in this country we do not have community policing. We do not have a lot of things. And in the city of St. Louis, we don't even have the resources or the mechanism legally to even restructure public safety in a manner that would address the issues that we're confronted with in our community. And just on a sideline, for those of you who asked me on yesterday whether or not I thought the Rams would beat the 49ers, and I said yes, the Rams would beat the 49ers. So guess what? The Rams did, in fact, beat the 49ers 20-17. Oh, at this late date, we're talking about new life for the Rams. It's a good thing to win. You know, everybody loves a winner. They don't care too much about losers. But St. Louis is a friendly town toward its professional teams, particularly compared to New York. Don't lose in New York. You're in trouble. You are in trouble. And certainly in Queens, New York, there is much trouble going on with this recent shooting, leaving the groomsman, Sean Bell, dead. I'm looking forward to seeing the explanations and the rationale for the shots that were fired, some 50, if the news reports are accurate, and they may or may not be. But that type of bullets being shot into one vehicle were, according to news reports at this particular time, no weapon was found. So there we go. The Monday after Thanksgiving, we are coming along. And the sun is not quite up yet. And I am having difficulty discerning some messages that are being sent to me. But that might be just because I'm a little slow and I haven't been in the hot seat in a while. So perhaps I'll be able to discern it a little better as we go on. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is the morning wake-up call with Liz Brown. However, Liz is under the weather, and you're here today with Irene J. Smith. You can reach us at 454-0400, long distance at 1-877-920-9468, and that would be, of course, WGNU. Or you want to log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Hook us up on the web. We have someone that wants to talk about the Ballpark Village. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ms. Irene. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
That's good. That's good. That's good. God is always good. I want to just tell you real quick how my Thanksgiving was. I got a little sister that's 40 years old, and about a year ago, she was having difficulty breathing. So she went to the doctor, and he said, well, Lisa, what we're going to do is we're going to try you on this medicine. She tried it for about 6 months. It didn't work, so she went back. He said, we're going to try you on another one. So make long story short, it was about a year he had been trying things. So he said, what we're going to do is we're going to install a tracheotomy in you, and then when we do that, after a while, you'll be able to breathe. Well, about 2 weeks ago, they put it in, and when they put it in, she started breathing, but she's having difficulty still. But what happened was, the hole that they made was too big for the trach. So when we kept wondering why was she always coughing up, why was they said, yeah, we're going to get to that after the day after Thanksgiving. Well, she passed Thanksgiving morning.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry to hear about that, Bob.
Yeah, so God is good. Hey, you know what? That's the thing. She was safe, so, you know, she's up there in a better place than me.
All right.
Now,
well,
my
you...
thing is, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. How much police protection do you think we can, and this is why I'm mad. People were mad at me around here because I wasn't celebrating the World Series. I wish Detroit had won. But anyway, how much police protection can $100 million buy? And yeah, try to answer that. I think of you as a very bright, Christian, smart lady. But try to answer me that the best you can.
First of all, I would not like to see $100 million go into police protection. I think part of the problem is this. First of all, we think that totally giving more money to the police department will bring on more police protection and thus reduce crime. I think we have repeatedly, we've seen that despite the fact at various levels, whenever crime gets out of control, the police inevitably say that they don't have enough manpower. And they may be down on manpower. I'm not downing this.
Right.
But I'd like to quote something that a friend of mine, Joanne Williams, with the Carpenter District Council, we would talk about. She's represented public employees for a while. And she, I'm going to hold that thought.
Yeah, hold me.
Hold over. We're going to go to a break. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. Liz is under weather today. So you're stuck with me, Irene J. Smith. I'll be back with you after the break.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
It's time for a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. In Hong Kong, a rare piece of art has sold for a record-breaking $6.9 million at a Christie's auction. The work, Slave and Lion, by renowned Chinese artist Zhu Bihong, was expected to sell for just under $5 million. The seller was an unnamed Singapore collector, and the buyers remaining anonymous. The price exceeded the previous record of $4.5 million. And in other news, General Motors is getting ready to show a commitment to new fuel-saving technology. This week at the Los Angeles Auto Show, GM Chief Executive Rick Wagoner is expected to talk about how the automaker will shift ideals away from the company's reputation of focusing on gas-guzzling trucks. GM is expected to wait until the Detroit Auto Show in January to give in-depth details on the program and plans for electric cars. That's a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Well, you know, we lost Gerald Levert, and that's a very nice tune with he and Kelly Price. We were talking about a variety of subjects here this morning, primarily crime, our city. We're talking about, we're just getting into a discussion about how $100 million that is slated for the Ballpark Village, according to the caller. how much police protection that could bring. I indicated to the caller that I would not like to see $100 million spent on police protection. I think it could be better spent a lot of different ways that would certainly impact greater protection. So I'm going to go back to Bob and let him finish his thoughts on this subject. Go right ahead, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Irene. It's a breath of fresh air to have you. But anyway, what I was saying was I was talking about the ballpark villa, but the $100 million, what I'm saying is we got a guy in the Cardinals called Albert Pujols. Okay, they pay this guy $100 million to bet. Mm-hmm. Okay, now if I pay you $100 million, Ms. Irene J. Smith, the time they don't walk you, I want the ball out of the park for $100 million. Mm-hmm. Now, the day after...
You know what gets me, Bob, and if I can't interrupt you here for a minute. People talk a lot about the salaries at ballpark, baseball players, sports figures get. I think it's obscene. Don't get me wrong. I think it is. But, in the particular industry in which they find themselves, where the owners are making mega dollars, you know, to me, they're just workers. So, you know, if you are working and you can structure a salary for yourself like that while the owners are making money, then I think the players ought to make that kind of money. I think the problem for me is that in this country, we place so much emphasis on sports and entertainers that these are the positions that are prized. These are the positions that make a lot of money. And that is purely our fault as a society. But I'm not knocking the ball player that makes that kind of money because the team owners are making that kind of money, are making a lot of money. And if it were not for the fact that these players were there, the team owners would not be able to make the money that they make.
Okay, right. And that's what I'm saying. And that's why right after the World Series, they came out with a report about how St. Louis is the roughest city in the world to visit.
We're going to have a discussion on that later, hopefully later in the weekend in a lot more detail. But go ahead on with your thought.
Okay, so when they came out with that right there, and then a week after that, they came out with the most disease-prone city. So they coming out with stuff. So what I'm saying is if the mayor of St. Louis and the chief of police, if they had been black and that would have happened, they'd be doing hot dogs downtown, you know, right now. And I'm being honest with you.
I think that point is very well taken. People would be calling for their heads. There would be a lot of scathing articles because, after all, we here in St. Louis, we're still challenged with this issue that we call race.
Right.
The issue of race still exist in this city, and it's still a challenge for those of us who live in this city and want to see this city move forward.
Right. And here's how they...
And, brother, I'm gonna move on because I've got some other folks who have been calling. You have a good... And you have my sympathy for the loss of your sister.
Thank you, Miss Smith.
You're welcome. Good morning, Miss Amanda.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm good.
Love your show, and I really enjoyed your show and the things that you're doing around the city to make an improvement on our community. I'm also interested in this crime thing because, like everybody had said on the show, it has escalated. I'm interested in the part working together to try to do something about it problem more than anything else. I know it's here, and I know the escalation is really bad because Sunday they had a shooting at my house and they shot through my window. So I really interested in it.
Can you just give the 100, the block?
7700 on Arbert.
Oh, my goodness.
Arbert has been a very bad neighborhood coming for crime, and seemed like it had escalated.
Let me ask you this, because when I passed through that area, oftentimes I have viewed open drug sales.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm saying to myself, if Janie Q Public, and that's me, I'm Janie Q Public, if I can drive through the neighborhood and I see people acting like this is our spot, this belongs to us, this is where we deal drugs, then certainly the St. Louis's finest would see the same. So my question is, why is something Why hasn't something been done about that?
Well, we have gone to Weed and Seed. The community had gone to Weed and Seed and talked to them about it. They come and knock in the doors and close up some of the houses. And then the people come from the other part of the city and they stand out and sell their wares.
And so then when this happens, the police tell you to call them when there's a sale. Well, I ain't got to call you. All you got to do is drive through. Just drive through.
Yeah.
You know, there's open drug sales, and this is allowed. This is permitted. And so the question becomes, why? Why are open drug sales permitted where Janie Q Public, me, that's me, Janie, Janie Q Public can drive through and see this type of activity, and yet nothing is done about it?
But it happens here. It happens in a lot of them.
Yes, it happens in several neighborhoods, but then the question still is, why is this permitted to happen? Why isn't anything done about it?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know from the police. Why isn't there something done about it?
Why isn't there something done about it?
Why isn't there completely, not just done, something done about it, but have completely eradicated it, have gotten rid of it?
That's right. All right.
Things have been done about it. Some people have come and they have removed them, but they write back. But the thing about it is they need to be completely eradicated. They need to be out.
I think you're absolutely right. Give John my regards.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Mr. Davis.
Good morning, Irene J. Smith.
Good morning.
Fantastic lady there.
Good morning, Mr. Davis. How was your holiday?
Oh, it was very fine.
That's good.
Very fine. I feel very blessed that my older sister, she kind of has taken care of the family for the holidays since our parents have passed away.
All right.
And so we all go over to her house.
All right. Well,
yes.
I know how that is because I'm the oldest sibling in my family, and everyone was at my house Thanksgiving the day after and the day after that.
Oh, yeah. So
that's a blessing.
The elder has taken over and taken the place of the parent. All right. This is from the people from some years back. The problem today, Liz, you know, I was always saying,
Mr. Davis, I know it's just a habit, and this is certainly the Liz Brown Show, the morning wake-up call. Liz is not here today.
Yeah, no.
So you say, Liz, and I'm Irene.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. It's such a habit. I do understand, and I'm not offended by it. I'm just teasing you.
All right. You know, you're a fabulous number one also there. I was just saying that you know that Maxine Waters, the Congresswoman Maxine Waters,
yes,
has said many times that the drugs was brought into our community intentionally to take and mess us up because we were doing so well during the civil rights movements and that. You remember seeing the movie where they said that we would take and bring these drugs into only certain communities?
Oh, certainly. It was demonstrated in the movie Panther.
Yeah.
Black Panther, the Black Panther Party movie. It's been documented and over and over again. But I guess the question becomes, that having happened at this particular point in time, what are we to do about it?
I tell you, it's really, really quite something. And, you know, the people like you and like Liz and that and others that are in you all's organization, boy, we have to really be on the ball.
Well, Mr. Davis, you're part of the Saturday Morning Urban Institute, you know, the International Urban Institute. We meet from 9 to 11 at 1020 North Taylor. So please don't refer to it as you all's organization, because it is a people organization. It does not belong to Liz and I. It is being formed by those who have regularly been coming, and we have a regular crowd, and we have others who come as well. So it's not the organization does not belong to Liz and I.
No, I didn't mean it in that way. I meant just that the, you two were the ones who kind of brought it up and started it all.
All right.
So I think you're just two fantastic people, and I just wanted to get that over, that point about that drugs has been brought into our community intentionally to take and mess us up, and we really have to watch out and be careful about them doing things of that sort to us. As you said, race in St. Louis is still a real thing.
As it is throughout this country.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, Mr. Davis, thank you for your call. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. Liz is out today, still a little under the weather. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for her. Stay tuned. Call us. I see you. Just stay where you are. We'll be back with you after the news.
Peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how is it now?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. They're not sure just what caused it, but the military is looking into the downing of a U.S. plane in Iraq with one pilot on board.
The Air Force isn't yet saying whether the pilot survived, only that an Air Force F-16 CG jet crashed about 20 miles north of Baghdad today with just that pilot on board. A spokesman at the U.S. Central Command says the jet was supporting combat ground operations in Iraq.
ABC's Andy Field in Washington. The ongoing violence in Iraq, the focus of the president's latest overseas trip. He'll meet with the Iraqi prime minister in Jordan. Before that, he has stops in the Balkans for summits with key allies.
A week ago, it was a summit in Asia. This week, Northern Europe. And the NATO alliance may be expanding again. President Bush is coming to recommend that far-flung allies in Australia and Japan join NATO as global partners.
ABC's Ann Compton in Tallinn, Estonia. Pope Benedict is also on an important foreign trip to Turkey.
The original purpose of this trip was to help heal the thousand-year-old schism with the Eastern Orthodox Church. But the Pope simply can't ignore the more recent rift with Islam that he helped to cause. In the last minute, his aides have added to his schedule a stop at Turkey's most famous mosque, the Blue Mosque, and they say that he will visit that place in part as a gesture of goodwill.
That's ABC's David Wright in Istanbul. The nation's retailers are hoping that you'll do a little shopping today from the comfort of your own home or maybe while you're at the office. Today is Cyber Monday. It's not the busiest online shopping day of the year, but Ellen Davis with the National Retail Federation says it is the most watched.
This is kind of turning into a little bit of a snowball effect where the day gets bigger and bigger every year because there are always more people shopping and better deals to be had.
And you'll find all kinds of deals on many websites, like free shipping or some very deep discounts. This is ABC News.
Nice shot!
Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
I've got a cough that won't quit.
That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin Chest Congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
He won re-election by running to the left of the president, and it looks like that's where California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to stay. Here's ABC Steve Taylor.
For a man originally elected as a conservative Republican, Governor Schwarzenegger is sounding a lot like a Democrat. He says the U.S. has 5% of world population and uses a quarter of the oil.
We are creating 25% of the pollution of the greenhouse gas emissions.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Schwarzenegger said the states aren't waiting for Washington but fighting global warming themselves. How does he feel about the Iraq war?
I think we all know that we got to get out of there, but we got to get out of there the right way.
Steve Taylor, ABC News, Washington.
This could put a few motivational speakers out of work. Experts are now saying that, yes, you can make yourself happier, and no, you don't need help from anyone to do it. One suggestion, before you go to bed every night, think of at least three good things that have happened that day. Another, exercise. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Sudafed PE. A teenager is in critical condition after a shooting in North St. Louis. Police say a 17-year-old boy was found shot in the head along the 4400 block of Lexington last night. No arrests have been made at this hour. The search continues for four suspects after shots were fired following an accident in Midtown St. Louis. Police say a car occupied by four men crashed into a curb along Forest Park Parkway and Kings Highway, then struck a car just before 5 a.m. this morning. That's when police say the four men began firing at the man inside the other car. The victim wasn't harmed in the gunfire, but suffered serious injuries from the accident. No word on his condition at this hour. An autopsy is pending on a homeless man whose body was found in South St. Louis over the weekend. Authorities say the victim was discovered behind a business along the 4700 block of Ridgewood Avenue yesterday afternoon. The victim reportedly didn't have any signs of trauma. His name hasn't been released yet. And finally this hour, the death of an 8-year-old North County girl is being called a tragic accident. Authorities say Nashonda Brown Baylark fell to her death Friday evening from the third floor of her grandmother's North St. Louis home. Family members say she was bouncing on the bed before she struck an unsecured window and covering and fell through it. Nashonda was a second grader at Danforth Elementary School in Bell Fountain Neighbors. That is a look at this hour's news. This hour's news has been sponsored by Sudafed PE. Sinus misery? Get Sudafed PE. The medicine in Sudafed PE is clinically shown to relieve nasal congestion in minutes. Six minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tahiti Village. Northbound 55 at 4500 South Broadway. There's an accident on the right shoulder and it's backed up through Loughborough. Westbound 5570 at Kings Bridge split and look for an accident on the left shoulder there. Westbound 5570 is moving slow near the exchange. Westbound 64 is slowing back to 15th Street. Eastbound 70 at 94, there's an accident. Left lane's blocked. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Merrimack River Bridge, it's heavy volume there. Northbound 270 at Sappington and Marshall, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Mason, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant, you've got delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is heavy this hour. Westbound 40 between Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. There's delays as drivers merge onto the bridge complex at the top of the ramp. And westbound 5570 at Tudor and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering complimentary 3-day, 2-night hotel in Las Vegas for couples, so call today, 877-57-VEGAS. That's 877-57-VEGAS. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy today, a high in the upper 60s. This evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers with a low in mid-50s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high in the mid-60s. And Wednesday, showers likely, even a chance of thunderstorms is possible with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 56. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown, or actually stay tuned for more of Irene J. Smith, who's filling in for Liz Brown. That's up next right here on the AM 920 WGNU. It's the Wake Up Call with Irene J. Smith. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Well, one thing for sure. It's not snowing. In fact, it's supposed to get up to 70 today. And for those of you who know me and who've had the opportunity to share some time with me on the radio, know that I love music. I don't get in off into the commercial aspect of Christmas, but I love music, and I love Christmas music as well. So just bear with me, and I hope you also will enjoy. Let's go to see what Kathy has to say about crime. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene. I was thinking that is it possible to get with Jackie Jernicursey and find out how she established her center, because we need some center for our youth. I've always been interested in getting them out of the streets, you know that. But the idea is we can't just talk about it. We need to structure something attract them to.
Very definitely. And I can just say for what's going on up in the First Ward, a project that I started, and with the blessing of our present alderman, Charles Quincy Troop, we've been able to acquire some additional funding and some donations, almost in excess of close to $1 million, where we're developing an educational and arts center in the old police station, the old 6th District Police Station at 6th up at Ruskin and West Florissant. We are hopeful that if all goes on schedule that we will be operational this summer. We're just in the process of completing the roofs there. There were three roofs that had to be replaced to the tune of about $100,000. And we were blessed to get a donor with the help of our alderman to do that property. So you're absolutely right. We need structured activities. We need to have an alternative for our children. But in addition to those type of things, Kathy, we also, I always, in my daily prayer, challenge our churches who are sitting there right in the community to open up their doors to provide some activities, structured recreational activities, and instruction for our children.
Hey, don't leave out the masjids.
The masjids as well. You know, they need to open up their doors to provide activities. And sisters and brothers, we must roll up our sleeves, volunteer to be there to get our children off of the street. Because many of our children, to be honest, they are raising themselves. Their parents are working 2 and 3 jobs, paying $5, $6, $8 an hour jobs just to try to make ends meet. And therefore, when that happens, someone steps in. Kathy, we were talking about this Wednesday as my sisters and I, we were in the kitchen preparing for our Thanksgiving meal. And we talked about how, as little ones, we were in the house alone at times. You know, I was a latchkey baby, and I lived in public housing. And my mother had to work. So, you know, there were many days that I came home, and my food was on the stove.
No, my mother would do that, but she would leave us at work, she would leave us with the neighbors down the street, across the street, or something like
well,
that.
Well, I was a latchkey baby. Okay. So the lady across the street looked out next door, right. Across the hall, looked out for me. The lady down both ends of the hall looked after me. And my other mother, who was one floor down, looked after me. But I actually came in my house alone. And that's the case with many of our kids today. The difference being is that that person next door or the person next on the other side may not be looking out for the kid. The person across the street may not be looking out for the kid. So it is up to us to kind of stand in the gap.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to say this to Irene. I was at Grand, and I think it was Martin Luther King getting some gas. And I was talking about the drug deal that I saw going on because I knew that's what it was. And this guy said, well, let me tell you something. He said, do you know that the police and the Aldermans know where all these drug houses are? I said, well, why don't they shut them down? He said, hey, they go in, they clean, after they get a certain amount of money that they figure they build up to, they go in and take the money and let them keep on running it.
Yeah.
I said, no, that don't make
well, sense. One thing for sure, it is not, the aldermen are not elected to provide police protection. They're certainly elected to try to insist and ensure, and as you know, in the city of St. Louis, we do not have local control of our police department, although we need it.
Can they say something about it?
Certainly they can, and certainly many of them, are saying something about it. But it is ultimately the responsibility of the St. Louis Police Department to provide police protection and enforcement of our laws.
Well, they're cleaning it. They're putting the money in their pocket from what he was telling me.
Well, perhaps some of them are, and perhaps many of them are, but I don't believe all of them are. But at the same time, they do have a responsibility to provide police protection for our city.
Well, at Entry Center, will you be needing any help?
We will, and we will be sending a shout-out as soon as we get to the point where we will need help.
And you know what, Irene, I know sports is important in the city, but academic is going to take
Of course it is. Going. Of course it is. That's why for us it's an educational and arts center. Okay?
Okay, thanks, Karen.
Thank you for calling in, and you have a very good day.
Have a better one.
Okay, hope to see you Saturday.
Yes.
All right, this is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. Liz is still under the weather. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We'll be back with you after this break.
For a look at the world news that matters most to you, tune in to AM 920 WGNU's Global News Updates, weekday mornings, 7:45, 8:45, and 9:45, weekday evenings at 6:45. Sponsored by Reasonable Construction, 314-382-2200.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Just because winter's upon us, that's no reason to give wildlife the cold shoulder. Invite birds to your feeder by planting native shrubs. Chickadees, cardinals, wrens, and nuthatches will flock to them. You can put out buttonbush, sumacs, and winterberry anytime before the ground freezes. They'll provide your winged guests with shelter and produce food to keep them coming back next spring. For more ideas, contact a Grow Native nursery online at grownative.org.
Grow Native.
Sponsored by the Missouri Department of Conservation and participating nurseries.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU, 920 a.m.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
All the way home, I'll be warm. Jesus, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell squeak and jingle bell ring. Snowing and blowing and bushels of fun.
Oh, that's the Whispers. All right, we're going to go and see what Brother Malik has to say about crime. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Well, how are you, Sister Irene?
I'm very good.
Good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too.
Yeah,
I miss seeing
you. I'll get it before I get off. But let me say this. The crime that's going on in the neighborhoods, like you were speaking of in the 700 block of Albert. Now, you know in my experience in driving a cab,
you
I was
saw it
in
all.
The city.
You saw it all.
And it's no way they can tell locked-in citizens, as they call them, that crime is down. Things aren't as bad as they seem because they don't get out much. But when you see the city 12 and 15 hours a day, you can see whether they're lying or not. I've actually seen the police drive by crime on Albert there. They see them dealing drugs. The whole plan is this. The Negro figures that they should help him. They're not even thinking of helping you. You go south of Del Mar on Euclid and see what happens. You're running into Maryland Plaza. These places, people sit out in the summer on the front drinking and eating. They don't have any fear of no disturbance, no robbery, because the police protection is triple there. You go back north of Del Mar toward Enright, and you begin to see bars up to the windows. You begin to see no police protection, people scrounging to get home and doing the best they can out of fear, holding their pocketbooks. This is all because of a lack of police protection. And like you said, that money they talking about collecting for more police, it ain't going to do no good. You might as well put it some other place because they ain't doing no job. They can do with what they got right there if they really want to do it. But I'm going to say this, Irene, before I hang up. You know the Himalayan mountains in India?
Yes, sir.
All right. They are tall, towering mountains. And there was a rumor that the Himalayas were going to give birth. And people gathered curiously to see the Himalayas give birth. And they just wonder what could these formidable giants give birth to. And they agreed as they are. And you know what they saw, Irene? They saw packs of rats coming out of the Himalayas. Now, that Himalayan mountain represents these educational facilities we got here in America. I mean, plush universities, skyscraper dormitories, and a pack of rats coming out from education. If you read the college campuses and the activity that goes on them, drugs and every other thing go on them, if education was the key to success, people should be completely educated in America. There's so many learning institutions, but they don't have any moral education. And that's what's needed is moral education. The education you got that won't do nothing but escalate crime. You got white collar criminals. But I'm going to say that, Irene. Best thing to do, look, stop worshiping the past. Our people complain about the condition they're in. The 10th chapter of the book of Jeremiah speaks against worshiping these holidays. You read it. It says these are the customs of a people. They're vain, cutting the tree down, and so forth. It's a work of the axeman. They pin it that it moves not. That's the Christmas tree. He says these are vain customs. Leave them alone. What have you got to give thanks for? For being here in slavery? They had something. They killed a turkey, the pilgrims, and ate it, and they were glad you was here. But I'm going to say that, Irene. Once you can't kill tomorrow's flame out of yesterday's ashes. Leave the dead past alone and start looking for the future of training our children to come out of this immoral society. Have a good day, Irene.
All right. Thank you, Brother Malik. All right. We're going to make maybe a little change. Maybe it's connected. Tim wants to talk about Section 8. Good morning, Tim.
Yeah. I was talking to a young lady. She said they're no longer accepting Section 8 people in the city. She said they're moving you out to, like, St. Charles County and Valley Park and things like that. And I told her that's not true.
Well, let me say this. There are Section 8 vouchers, and a lot of them are out in the county, but they do still have some here.
Well, she said the white people are attempting to take over the cities, but I doubt that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. Sometimes people be talking.
You don't think that there is a move to move the present individuals?
Negro population out of the city.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
Because what the white people have in the county and their surrounding areas, they have convenience stores. that are open 24 hours instead of an Arabic brand store or a filling station where you can go and get some soda and potato chips. No, they are full functioning grocery stores.
Okay. Right. And your point being?
My point is that sometimes people, you know, I don't know, have misinformation and they really don't research.
What is the nature? I mean, which misinformation are you referring to?
The misinformation is she said that younger white people are moving. The government is trying to shift people back to the county and empty out the cities so white people can move back into the city of St. Louis.
You don't think that there's, let me ask you this, you don't think that there is an effort to, say for an example, do you know where Cochran Housing Project is, public housing is? Initially, there was a big fight and they have displaced a lot of those individuals. But for the leadership of Bertha Gilkey, who is still there, many of those tenants will move into the newly renovated apartments across the street. But the plan was really to move them out and to build market rate housing. So maybe it's
the Peabody Project.
The same thing.
Those are totally
I understand, but the mix of housing that has occurred down there, a lot of people were displaced. A lot of people were displaced. So while I certainly understand some of what you're saying, I also understand a lot of what she's saying, since I spent a great deal of time, number one, growing up in public housing, and number two, being general counselor for a tenant management organization, dealing with public housing and going throughout this country, from New York to Camden, New Jersey, to Chicago, to Estrada, and Compton in California, as well as Louisville, Kentucky, and other places, Cleveland.
I got some more questions to ask you.
But you're going to have to hold them because we got the boards are fully lit up. But I'm going to let you ask at least one of them, and then I'm going to move on to the next caller, okay?
One reason why there's a lot of crime in the black community is because there's no marriages taking place. You have a lot of single mothers. If you had a young couple, man and woman, married, usually that couple was buying a house. They got a 30-year mortgage, and they're concerned about the community. All you have is a lot of single mothers.
So the fact that we have crime in the black community is because we have single mothers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's really no
discipline.
No discipline with the kids.
And what do you base that on?
From what I see and what I know.
Okay, so what you talked about a lady who told you about the displacement, and you said there was no data to back it up. So where is your data to back that up? Because I tell you this, Tim.
So where is my data to back it up?
Yeah, where is your data to back it up?
Because
that the crime that in our community.
The only part of the city that white people are running to is downtown where the new laws are at. They're not trying to get over there to Berkeley or down on Vanderbilt or Martin Luther King somewhere.
Well, let me tell you this. I live in a community where there are speculators that are buying and some Caucasians who have moved into our community. But that wasn't the question. You made the statement that the reason why we have so much crime in our community
Hold on.
Now, I listen to you. Now, I'm going to make sure I'm phrasing what you said right.
Right.
You said that's because there are all these single parents and there is no discipline in our community because you have all these single mothers raising these children. Is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's the reason why we have crime in our community.
Well, the crime rate is universal.
No. Hold on. Don't try to enlarge what you said. I'm talking about what you said specifically. Now, let me tell you this, Tim. My mother was a young mother, okay? My mother was not married. My mother raised me along with. I'm not lucky. I wasn't lucky. If anything, I was blessed, but I don't contribute it to luck.
Blessed or luck.
I don't contribute it to luck.
Okay.
What I'm saying is you're saying that crime has come about in our community simply because...
It's the total breakdown of the family.
Okay, yes, the family is breaking down, but you're saying that that is the only reason that there is crime in our community is because there are single families in our single parents
say,
in our community.
From the Godfather.
But we're talking about what you said. And what you said, Tim, was that the crime exists in our community because there are single mothers.
Definitely.
Okay. And you don't have anything to back that up.
Statistics can prove me right.
But I mean, statistics can prove you right. Where are your statistics?
The statistics is like the Federal Bureau FBI statistics.
There's an FBI statistic that says there's an FBI. So you're saying if those demographics show that there is a majority of single parents and there is crime, then it leads to the conclusion that there is crime in that community.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this. Suppose those statistics also show that in those communities, the majority of the stores in that community are owned by Arabs who only sell potato chips and soda and beer and wine. Then follow also that is the reason why there's crime in that community is because those entities exist?
That. Why, after Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and the Civil Rights Movement, why don't we have enough, you know, economic prowess or power to open up stores in our own community?
We do. It's just,
it seemed like after integration, everything went down to Hades.
Well, that's something we can talk about is because people don't perhaps value who they are, or perhaps there are many of us who don't look at ourselves as a people. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
You have a good day here. All right. We're kind of talking it up here, and we are certainly just talking. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. Liz is under the weather, and this is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. You can reach us at the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net, or you can reach us at 454-0400 or long distance 1-877-920-WGNU. We'll be back after the traffic report.
Morning, St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 55 at 4500 South Broadway. Had accidents on the right shoulder. Earlier traffic delays have been cleared. Eastbound 48 Clayton Warson. Look for an accident there. Left lane's blocked and traffic's backed up through Ballast. Eastbound 70 and 94. Look for an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic's backed up through Cave Springs. Westbound 70 at Kings Highway. There's a vehicle on fire believed to be in the two right lanes. Traffic's slowing near Shreve. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for no delays. Northbound 270 from Sappington through Marshall. Expect stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Mason. Look for delays there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect delays. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Delays at the top of the ramp as they merge onto the complex there. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant, it is slow. And Dunn and Taylor, look for an accident reported. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. McDonald's new premium roast coffee. It's not gourmet. It's better. Taste it for yourself. Get a free small coffee during Free Coffee Mondays. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies, high in the upper 60s this evening. Mostly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the mid-50s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, high in the mid-60s. And Wednesday, showers are likely, even a possible thunderstorm with a high in the 60s. Currently, we have clouds and 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 56. Liz Brown is out ill. She should be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then, we have Miss Irene J. Smith filling in for her and doing quite a nice job, I might add. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. I'd like to encourage you to find out who you are and be it on purpose without apology. I believe that there is great power and influence when we know who we are. When we understand the gifts and talents that we possess, we're able to make a strong and powerful impact on the world around us. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
My favorite thing is talking to you, WGNU listening audience. Tim and I just had a little exchange about the cause of crime in our community, and he seems to think that it is because of the breakdown of the family that we have crime, and I certainly understand his point and understand how important it is for our children to have two parents. Certainly, in most situations, two parents can do it better than one, but not always. But I certainly understand his point, and I think his point is very well taken. Certainly, our community would hope, be very well off with more two-parent households. However, I think the crime problem in our city and in our community does not simply exist because of single parents. I think it's a factor that involves a lot of things, the family, the community itself, the conditions that exist in our community, the lack of involvement of our churches in our community, the assaults that have been made on our public school systems in our community, the lack of services that oftentimes exist in our communities. You know, you come through a community that you can freely dump and there's nothing done about it, and there's paper on the street and things of this nature, then people think that the individuals that live in this community don't care. So why should I? And I will do anything that I can. Have you ever observed individuals who grew up in a community and they have moved on to the county, which is certainly their prerogative, and things that they would not do on their block in the county, they feel free to come to our community to do? For an example, brothers who have moved to the county, but they feel free to come and congregate and drink beer and cuss and talk loud in the community in which they grew up in, but they would not exhibit that same behavior. And incidentally, these are individuals who grew up, many of them, in two-family households. So I'm going to slip an opportunity to respond, and then we're going to get on and we're going to listen to Neil talk about Laclede Gas. Go right ahead, Slip.
Oh, Irene, how are you?
I'm good.
All right, very good, interesting conversation. I guess the previous caller was Tim.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, he had a provocative statement when he said it was single-family households that the problem was caused by, and you just covered just about everything that I wanted to say.
Well, I should have let you.
However, I don't think I heard you. I think you did even say economics. But, you know, the one thing that really rings true that I don't think, well, at least I didn't hear you say, but I'm you cover your bases fairly well.
I didn't, and you're absolutely right. And so point it out.
Well, the one was, is the fact that, you know, people have to have jobs. If there isn't a strong cash flow coming into a family, you know, people have to eat. And it gets to the point where people are going to do whatever they have to do to survive. Now, there are offshoots of survival, and, you know, some of the marauding that takes place by the teenagers is because I personally feel there may be a sense of hopelessness or, you know, I don't care.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
And, you know, but if they saw their mother and their father, because I do agree with Tim, that is certainly a factor, but if they saw two people that loved each other going to work, coming home every day, that also came home with, as opposed to being exhausted and, you know, not being able to interact fully with their children, they came home, gave them kisses, helped them with their homework because they weren't so worn out. I think that'd be a big thing, too.
I think it would, too.
It's so important, and that's one thing that I think is lost. And let me touch on this other one, because this has been a pet peeve of mine forever. And that is this, you know, you made the comment about trash in our community. And, yes, I mean, we have to realize that, yeah, the services in North St. Louis and in the black community in general is going to be, let's say, 50, I'm just throwing a number out, 50% of what it is in other communities in our area and across this country. However, this just drives me. Just because the services have been cut, it doesn't give those in the community that is being not given the full service to put it upon themselves just to throw everything that they put in their hands, whether it be the wrapper to a box of cigarettes or it be the gum wrapper, it be the White Castles. I mean, the second that they have what they want out of it is gone out the window. Now, it happens every place else, Irene. I know that. But I'm acutely aware and acutely have a keen sense to see that in our community. And maybe it's because it's us doing it to ourselves. I've trained my children. Look, if you have a candy wrapper, if you don't see a trash can, put it in your pocket, put it in the ashtray in the car, do whatever you do, but do not let this garbage land on the ground.
That's right.
There are places for that stuff to go. If you hate what you are seeing in your community, you do have the ability to at least control some of it.
That's correct.
And it drives me absolutely nuts.
Well, we have that in common. We have that in common because it just drives me. I mean, I will oftentimes, you know, I see a lot of young people in my community, but even folks that drive through. I mean, I have drove up and asked them, you know, you just pulled up in front of my house. You just threw a whole bag of White Castle containers. Brother, my front of my house is not a trash can. Would you please pick it up?
That's right. I mean, you know, beer bottles and whiskey bottles. And now, the exception, you go out on any of the interstates, and there is so much accumulated filth. And that's not coming from just the black community. That's coming from everybody.
Right.
You know, so that's why I want to preface my statement saying that it's not just us doing it. But, you know, I've almost been cursed out. What am I saying? I have been cursed out for saying, hey, hey, there's a trash can right there.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, I just get
We share that pet peeve. I'm going to move on because I want to try to enter the boys before the break. Thank you for your call.
All right.
As we talk about issues in our community, about crime and other issues that we are confronted with, the issue of whether or not single parenting contributes to the crime problem or whether or not it's a collective of many factors that contribute to crime in our community, we're going to try to move on, and this brother wants to talk about Laclede Gas. So we're going to hear from Neil talk about Laclede Gas. Good morning, Neil.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Smith.
Good morning.
As always, I enjoy you. And then just let me hit on one or two of the things that you were talking about. And I don't want to ever think that the single mothers are like even half of the problems of the crimes that we have. Keeping in touch with a young man who, the same one that said that he wasn't acquainted with the fact that St. Louis is not being taken over, or trying to be taken over by the white power structure. And I believe it is. I believe a movement in that direction was started 20 years ago to take the power back from St. Louis, because at that time, blacks were, in a sense, ahead of the population, and they could basically vote in who they wanted to. But let me move on to Laclede, Irene. That's what I called for. I heard last week, and this was coming from another station, that they was going to have a meeting on it or what have you, of the double billing that...
The estimated bills.
Yes, my gas bill for the month of October was $73 and something. This month it was $173, and the temperature was almost basically the same. And I've heard quite a few of my neighbors talk of the same thing, of why did the gas bill double. I would like for either you or Elizabeth for some way to talk with someone. What can we do to create a private meter reader? I do not trust the Laclede with the reading, and yet we have to take their word. Whatever they say, that's it.
One of the things that you can do, you can do your own meter reading.
Well, hey, sweetheart, I've been doing that for about 7 years, and then I read it and send my own cards and whatever, and I allowed them to come out about 6 months ago with this program, and I'm sure you heard it.
Yes, I have
the
one
automatic
that
thing in,
mm-hmm, so automatic meter reading.
You don't have to worry about no estimates or none of that good stuff.
They're
the
still sending out
that to happen.
They're still sending. And matter of fact, since I had mine put in too.
Yes.
And I'm still receiving estimated bills. And that is what the Missouri Public Service Commission will be taking up.
Okay.
So that is the entity that regulates Laclede Gas, and we should just let our voices be known.
Okay.
However, I know that there is a Public Utilities Committee that meets with the International Urban Institute on Saturdays from 9 to 11. That's at 1020 North Taylor. So perhaps you can get with them and you all could work on a strategy to address that problem.
That sounds good.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. My. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is still under the weather. We're hopeful that she can be back with us tomorrow. We're going to take a break, callers, and we're going to get to you before the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to
to the community.
Here's this hour's WGNU Global News Update, brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, King Abdullah of Jordan warns of 3 civil wars in the Middle East next year unless urgent action is taken by the international community. Speaking on ABC's This Week, the Jordanian monarch raised the possibility of civil war in Iraq, Lebanon, and by the Palestinians, who are in conflict not only with Israel, but also with themselves. As for Iraq, Abdullah says it's already on the brink of civil war, and something dramatic must emerge from a meeting this week between President Bush and Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki. Speaking of Lebanon, Abdullah is concerned that recent assassinations and the conflict between Hezbollah and Israel could further weaken the government, leaving it ripe for civil war as well. And that's this hour's WGNU Global News Update. It's been brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston reporting.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
All right. We're talking about the conditions that exist in our community. We're talking about crime. We're talking about the cause of crime. And as we get through these next callers, and as we move toward the news hour, during the news, I just want you to take a moment. Just think about some solutions. Some recommendations of what we can do to address the violence, the crime that exists in our community. What can we do to improve our community? But in the meantime, I'm going to go to Betty Lou. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I think everybody, especially the little man with the tea gas, have a little knowledge of what's going on, but they only have knowledge of bits and pieces. Now, I've been fighting him in the domain for 4 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have someone sent me some information from my church. And let me tell you, the Lutheran churches, I know the Catholic churches, there's no telling. This thing is really big. They are all involved in somehow taking people's property in the city and moving poor people, and we do have whites in our group too.
Of course,
Chabelle, Nor, Beverly, Berkeley, Ferguson, Florissant, and U City, and the aldermen. Let me tell you, are working right with them. Now this paper says Bethlehem Lutheran Church has been working hard over the years to develop partners. Relationship with other Lutheran churches in St. Louis area. These partnerships led to the vision of building new homes, rehabilitating existing homes. Bethlehem is a partner minister faith church. Wherever, now this thing, I understand, has been going on for 30 years. I also found out that Senator Bond secures $1 million for North City Community Project. I received this notice from the court, the Circuit Court of the City of St. Louis. Okay. It says the authority is authorized and empowered by the Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority law to acquire, by the exercise of the power of eminent domain, or otherwise any real property in fee simple or other state which is necessary to accomplish the purposes in the Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority law when so empowered by the Board of Aldermen of the City of St. Louis. Now, when you read down here, it says the area is blighted.
I know you're talking about eminent domain.
And to reduce crime and morals and welfare in the City of St. Louis.
Ms. Betty Lou, tie it up for us. We know one thing, that it's possible to do redevelopment and to do new construction without taking people's houses.
We know that, but my lawyer told me. I called every lawyer in the City of St. Louis. We cannot work for you, conflict of interest. We cannot work for you, we work for Bosby. We cannot work for you, we work for the water department. So I'm telling you, they are going to take this property. The attorney that I do have is the attorney that defended the people in Sunset Hill.
Mm-hmm.
He tells me, Betty, there's nothing. There is nothing you can do to improve your property. You know what I mean? So much that they won't take it. They are going to take it. Now, what they're doing, Ms. Betty,
let me comment on that, because you're absolutely right, and I'm glad that you're working with MEDAC, the Organization Against Eminent Domain Abuse, and I know you're working with Reverend Fowler and Pam Talley.
Right.
And you're right. At this point in time, we must change the law at the state level, but locally, it is members of the Board of Aldermen who introduce legislation to take people's property by eminent domain.
Right.
And therefore, I am hopeful that the coalition will begin to utilize the initiative process to change some of these laws, because it is criminal for them to take your property in the manner that is being done.
Okay, the one problem we have, I think, 11,000 voters in our ward. Only maybe 3 or 4 come out and vote. In the next place, people are not going to understand. They don't come out and help us fight for their land as well as for ours, because they will wake up when they see them taking their property.
And so if you don't look out for me, they're going to be coming for you shortly.
That's right. And that's the problem. These people can talk all they want to, and they can surmise, and they can talk. The police want this stuff to go on so they can use that against these young boys selling that dope. They don't want to stop it. They want to use it for an excuse to take property.
And I'm glad you said that, Betty. I'm glad you said that, because a question was asked me the other day. Do you think it's a conspiracy to just totally destroy our community, and that looking at the city and the development that is occurring throughout the city is almost like North St. Louis is the last frontier, so to speak?
Uh-huh.
And therefore, if there are people who are leaving their homes, they haven't even sold them because of the crime that exists.
Right.
So the question is it a conspiracy to destroy our community by allowing the crime that exists to exist in our community?
Of course it is. Of course it is. I talked to the attorney for LRA, and he told me, I'm going to take your house, Betty Brown. I'm going to take your house and give it to better people. That's what he told me. I'm 80 years old. I've been block captain here for 35 years. I've never gave anybody any trouble. I keep up my property the best well I can.
So the city is saying to you, Ms. Brown, that even though you have been here, you have been the fabric of our community when it was struggling. You have been with us through thick and thin.
Right.
When it comes for times getting better, we don't need you anymore. And the present administration, in the person of Francis Slate, is not doing anything to assist homeowners and individuals who have stayed in our city when perhaps it wasn't the best place to be.
Right.
But now that others want to come in and take your land, now it's not your land if somebody can take it.
Right.
And so then it is incumbent upon us as community to fight off, as you all are doing and have been doing ever since you organized, consistently meeting, consistently working, consistently getting additional training to work against this land grab, because that's exactly what it is.
That's all it is.
It's a land grab. And it's wrong, and it's wrong for someone to come in and take your land. Because if it is my land, then the only way under our Constitution you ought to be allowed to take it is that it's for something that is for the greater good, say a highway or something of that nature. But Betty, I'm going to make you say one more point, then we're going to move on, okay?
Okay, they don't care who you are, what you are. I have awards from every mayor in the city for my work I've done, volunteer work. I have awards for Forest Park Community College. I have awards for Jefferson City. They don't care who you are if they want your land.
That's right. And you know what? Oprah does a lot of stories, and I would really like to see, and maybe you all ought to start hitting her website requesting that she actually do an in-depth story and expose on the how eminent domain is used to remove people from their land.
And let me tell you what they did. This is what they did to a white man. They found out that he borrowed money from a loan company years ago and filed bankruptcy. They went into that man's business, found his record, went paid the bill off. He couldn't pay it because he wasn't working, and took his house.
Mm. Oh, well. Well, Betty, I certainly wish you the best. Keep up the good fight. You have some very good people working with you, Reverend Fowler and Pam Talley.
Right.
And Maxine, you also have Jim that has been working with you guys. So we certainly wish you well.
Uh-huh.
We're going to move on. We're at the top of the, nearing the top of the hour. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
This has been the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is under the weather. I see you, callers. Stay in place. We'll get to you when we get back. Again, as we talk about, and many of us know about this issue of crime and violence in the community, let's also think about and talk about some solutions. We'll be back after the news.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemy, the man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. You can do it in your pajamas or at your desk at work, but the nation's retailers are just hoping you'll do it. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
They are calling the day Cyber Monday for a simple reason.
They're expecting website traffic to be very strong.
Recent history tells them that, but it's also marketing. Hype.
This is kind of turning into a little bit of a snowball effect.
Ellen Davis at the National Retail Federation.
The Internet does bring a new level of competition to the retail industry.
But know this, online or on foot, they don't care how you shop.
They just want you to shop with them.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The military is looking into the crash of an American fighter jet in Iraq. They don't think it was the result of hostile fire. No word yet about the pilot on board. President Bush is on his way to the Balkans for a stop on another foreign trip that includes a meeting in Jordan with the Iraqi Prime Minister. The Vice President's just back from his own overseas trip.
Over the weekend, Vice President Cheney flew all the way to Saudi Arabia to consult on Iraq. He later briefed President Bush in person on Sunday night. The President is to meet with the Iraqi Prime Minister on Wednesday night, with King Abdullah of Jordan hosting that short meeting.
ABC's Ann Compton in Tallinn, Estonia. The search for a missing Oregon family is over. The father, his girlfriend, and his four daughters were found in the woods of Hood River County late yesterday. They'd gone missing a day before while looking for a Christmas tree to cut down. The father says they got stuck in a snowstorm. Kathy Connolly with the Hood River County Sheriff's Office says it's not the first time this kind of thing has happened to people who go out looking to cut their own tree.
It happens quite a bit. People don't realize how much snow
there is or how fast it can snow.
She says if you're bound and determined to do this kind of thing, make sure that you let people know where you're going. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is down 76 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is off 15. This is ABC News.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
I've got a cough that won't quit. That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin Chest Congestion is my Robitussin.
My call came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
See, it is true. Here's ABC's Karen Chase.
But you can buy happiness, according to researchers. The question is, how much? One psychologist says very rich people report substantially higher satisfaction with life than very poor people.
The best things in life are free.
But an economist says, on a scale of 1 to 36, lottery winners increased their happiness levels only 1 point after they hit their jackpots. Another researcher agrees people who make more money are much happier. But he wonders, are they happier because they make more money? Or do they make more because they're happier? Karen Chase, ABC News.
Well, this is an awfully big name for a little guy. Seal and his wife, model Heidi Klum, have named their new son Johann Riley Fyodor Taiwo Samuel. He was a Thanksgiving present for the couple, born last Wednesday. He's their second child, Seal, a pop star, and Klum also have a daughter from her previous relationship. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather, as well as this hour's news. This hour's news is sponsored by Preparation H. A teenager is in critical condition after a shooting in North St. Louis. Police say a 17-year-old boy was found shot in the head along 4400 block of Lexington last night. No arrests have been made at this hour. A search continues for four suspects after shots were fired following an accident in Midtown St. Louis. Police say a car occupied by four men crashed into the curb along Forest Park Parkway and Kings Highway and struck a car just before 5 a.m. this morning. That's when police say the four men began firing at the man inside the other car. The victim wasn't harmed in the gunfire, but suffered injuries as a result of the accident. There is no word on his condition at this hour. An autopsy is pending on a homeless man whose body was found in South St. Louis over the weekend. Authorities say the victim was discovered behind a business along the 4700 block of Ridgewood Avenue yesterday afternoon. The victim reportedly didn't have any signs of trauma. His name hasn't been released as of yet. And finally this hour, a St. Louis police officer is already out of the hospital after an overnight shooting and standoff, and a suspect accused of shooting at the officer is dead. Police say the suspect shot the officer shortly after 11 last night and then barricaded himself in a home at Weber and Runyon. After several hours, the police got the suspect out of the house by using tear gas. He allegedly pointed his gun at the officers, who opened fire and killed him. That is a look at this hour's news. This hour's news has been sponsored by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes. Convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes. Big relief to go.
C-97.
6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. And now let's take a look at your traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 40, Clayton Warson. An accident's been cleared. Traffic's back up through 270. River Repair is closed between Watson and Gravoy due to bridge replacement. Detours are in effect. Route T at Central Midland Railroad Bridge in Laverty is closed through fall of 2007. That's due to taking detours through Washington Street and the Front Street. As a matter of fact, there are a number of ongoing construction projects, so just use caution and slow down in those work zones. The only other delays you may see are those final push going into the downtown this hour to get into the downtown area. So just use caution, slow down, give yourself a little extra time. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's Holiday Instant Game. 11 tickets, $100 million in total available cash prizes. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy, high in the upper 60s today. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers this evening, low in the mid-50s. Then for Tuesday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, high around the mid-60s. And Wednesday, showers likely, even a possible thunderstorm with a high around 60 as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 57 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 57 and clouds as well. Liz Brown is still out ill today, so instead we have Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Baby, you are the soul who snaps my control. Such a funny thing, but every time you're near me, I never can behave. You give me a smile, and then I'm wrapped up in your magic. Music's all around me, crazy music, music that keeps calling me so very close to you.
Oh yeah.
Turns me
Queen Latifah has certainly grown up.
Come and join me.
Oh, I just love that. I just love that. We're going to go to Bill on Education and the Police. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice.
You know, to give any police department any amount of money, and with the crime rate as we have and the other society ills that plague us as a community, there's no solution.
I agree.
We see the outcome of the opening of penitentiaries and other confinement facilities throughout our state, and usually in small places in outstate Missouri, that benefit from this industry that's created, fueled by the dilemma that besets our community. And giving the police more money is no solution.
I agree.
The problem, as it is, with those who represent us as our so-called political leaders, who allow these monies to be fueled into this bottomless pit, instead of redirecting funds that have been allocated for the purpose of helping our community. And I heard the brother say something about education. Please, brother, education is the key to a success. If you take and do a statistics, and the newspapers and all, they're very fond of statistics. But these same statistics will show that a greater percentage of our young men and women who go into these penal institutions have one thing in common, and that's a lack of education. So let us not be fooled to think that that's the way to improve our community. There are things that our community needs. Recently, the U.S. Census showed 42% of our families in our city are headed by women. That's a great amount. So I have to applaud the women who have been given this responsibility, this dual responsibility of producing good citizens, and it's tough. But our monies have to be redirected into education, and if the public schools, if certain schools are failing us, to bring forth those of us in the community with answers. We do have some answers. Unfortunately, we don't have the power to go with it. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I see the I see the need to resurrect career institutions, vocational, technical institutions to help our young people. Our young people are coming out of these high schools not being able to read their diploma, and we're forgetting about the enormous dropout rate that goes uncounted in statistics, and the young men and women who walk the streets with no particular goal in mind and no one to even give them a direction. And I don't know where the end is going to be. Someone described the end as being in these penitentiaries or in the cemetery. But I think we can do better than that. And I think as black people, those of us that may have some ideas, people, don't be in such an all-fired hurry to jump on the back of those of us that have some ideas and willing to work in this community and try to destroy these ideas before they can be of value. See where you can help. I went to the Better Family Life. I went to the Better Family Life presentation the other day in the festival that they had, and I think that Brother Malik has some genuinely good ideas about bringing his community together. And there are so many that sit back and bump their gums in a negative fashion about those that do positive things. Mm-hmm. Get on board.
Yeah.
Get on board. Thank you, Sister Irene.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I think the point is well taken that education is the key. But I think what also Brother Malik was saying is that also, as we were getting educated, why is it that, I point to when I was growing up, and I'm not as old as Brother Malik and me. Brother Malik and my dad drove cab together. But I also see the importance of instilling in our young people some moral values. And that's the difference. That's part of the difference I see with there was an emphasis on education as I was growing up. I mean, from everybody in the streets, you know, my grandmother, you know, it was told to me over and over again, get a good education. That's the one thing, no offense meant, but the one thing she said, that's the one thing white folks cannot take from you. But at the same time, there was great emphasis that was placed on what is right and what is wrong. And today we don't hear a lot of discussion about what is right, what is wrong. We hear a great deal of discussion about anything going. You hear our music coming up. We're going to be going to a break. This is the Liz Brown Show, the Morning Wake Up Call. Liz is out today under the weather. We expect her to be back in the seat tomorrow. This is yours truly, Irene J. Smith. We'll be back with you after the break.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Am I insane or do I really see heaven in your eyes? Brightest stars that shine up above you in the clear blue skies. How I worry about you, just can't live my life without you, baby. Come here, don't have no.
All right, Moody, yeah, in the mood for love. All right, we've had a very lively discussion this morning. I mean, somewhat centering around crime and what impact single family, single headed households, primarily of course headed by females, have on crime. We've discussed eminent domain, and we're hoping to hear some solutions, but we're going to get to Jeff because he's been holding on for some time. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, Irene? I was calling with some solutions.
Go ahead. Come on okay. With it. Come on.
All
with
right.
It.
I, you know, when I was growing up, I'm only 43 years of age. But when I was growing up, I remember as a young kid in the city, I remember, and in the country as well, the church being more of a place where a kid could seek refuge, because there were all kind of summer activities and after-school activities. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And the one thing I've noticed is that there are a lot, and I'm not beating up on churches, you know. I don't want nobody to think I'm a blasphemer or anything like that. It's just that on Sundays, it seems like all the churches in the city of St. Louis are lively with a lot of activity. You see the people in their colorful clothing. Everybody's happy. But, you know, as soon as the evening hit, you know, it's dark again. The churches are closed. And I'm just thinking that maybe if... The reason I said that is because last week or Saturday, I saw an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch where stated that African-American churches were going to get involved in trying to stop kids from smoking. And I said, wow, you know, out of all the issues, you know, that's the issue they unify on. I mean, smoking can have an adverse effect like causing cancer, what have you. But, you know, why that issue first, you know? And then I thought to myself and I said, well, the reason these churches are probably getting together to talk about cigarette smoking is because we know there are hundreds of millions of dollars in the state of Missouri in a fund to give to organizations that are advocating quit smoking. I don't know if these churches are doing this for the money or what, but I know there's a lot of money there. But the one thing I do have to say to church, you know, leaders is that the people in the community don't have a lot of money. And a lot of these kids, when they get out of school, if they had a place they can go, I'm not looking for the church to raise the kids, but I'm looking for some of these churches to probably have fundraisers where they can maybe buy some computers, buy some games, or have some tutors come in or something like that to keep kids active between the hours of 4 and maybe 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, you know, these kids can, you know, maybe since the church bus isn't being used on those days, during the week, you know, we can, you know, have the church bus drop the kids off at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they get home safely, you know, without having to deal with a lot of other stuff on the street. I just think that in our community now, churches have become more of an institution, you know. And the bigger churches have left the city of St. Louis and moved to the county.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a lot of churches that are in the city of St. Louis where people drive from the county to come to church and they look at us and then they go back to the county.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say this, that they're absolutely, Jeff, that is one of the things that I talk about seeing a greater visibility of our church. But I will say this, that there are some churches that actually have locations in the county. And I'm going to use one example, and that is San Francisco Temple. But it has a tremendous presence in our community in North St. Louis. Bishop McDaniels has had a huge vision where he has provided educational programs, a program for the seniors, and big activities for our children. Yet still, we as community must come together also to assist those churches. A big facility that Bishop McDaniels has, you know. But we need, oftentimes, we need volunteers, and we need to try to do that in a more organized fashion. But I certainly agree with you. I talk about it. I pray about it all the time, about wishing that the hearts of the ministers and the deacons and the trustee boards, that their minds and their hearts would be pricked to the point that they open up their doors, mm-hmm. other than on Sunday and Tuesday or Sunday and Wednesday, to provide structured recreational activities for our children. And certainly there are churches that do it. It's my understanding that Cobrillion Presbyterian Church, they have something for children in the evenings on Friday. More of our churches need to do this, because if you look at the churches in our community, and we have many, you know, it's like the churches and the liquor stores and the Chinese places are in a race. They're in a race, okay? And they got the corners nailed down. So if we can provide something in a more coordinated fashion, so it would not be any particular hardship or burden or challenge for one church in particular, if the churches on, say, the same block could get together and make a commitment to provide some structured activities working with one another, whereas, like I said, it would not be a complete burden on any one particular church. But we have got to do something, and Jeff, I certainly appreciate your recommendation, and I'm going to move on to try to get other callers
just
in.
One quick thing.
Okay, go ahead.
The other problem is with the judicial system. There's a high rate of recidivism. There are people being sentenced to long terms in prison that are being allowed to come back onto our streets, and most of these people are being released, and they've been involved in black-on-black crime. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, one thing for sure, once a person has did their time and has completed what they can, you know, have, for an example, I guess what they say, pay their debt to society. The problem is oftentimes individuals who are released out, they're just that. They're released out into the community. And therefore, we need to have more reentry programs where individuals are being trained and they are receiving some type of instruction and direction once they are released from prison, and not just simply just turned out on the street with nothing left but to engage in crime. This caller wants to talk about eminent domain. Go ahead, sir.
How are you, Miss Irene J. Smith?
I'm fine, Andre. How are you?
I would just like to say fine. I appreciated your conversation with Betty. I'm so sorry they're taking her home. But she's
it's criminal.
It is criminal.
It's criminal for an individual such as Mrs. Brown to have been involved in the community as long as she has.
Yes, ma'am.
To be acted as she has.
And
I'm hoping that somebody does an expose on this. I mean, I'm hoping that one of the media outlets, the visual media outlets, particularly television, does something, particularly on her, and show how, you know, you come through. And we talk about churches that are involved in development. And you mean to tell me that you cannot sit down and develop a plan that will improve our community and at the same time assist those who have been here, who have stayed in our community, such as Betty Lou Brown, and worked in our community?
Yes, she did.
You know, that is criminal to take her home.
It's cruel, Miss Smith.
It is cruel and unusual punishment to take her home.
And Miss Smith, I just like to say, I hope Betty's still listening. Betty, before they get your house, go down fighting, Betty, because Betty, I'll tell you one person who was not in your corner, and he has every opportunity to call Irene J. Smith now and tell her he's doing something about it. He needs to be recalled, Betty. You recall Freeman Bosley Sr. That's your problem, Betty. He's the problem. Do him like they did Tom Bowersley, Miss
Tom
Smith.
Bauer.
Tom
wow.
Bauer. Excuse me, Miss. Thank you for correcting, Miss Smith. Do him like they did Tom Bauer in the 23rd Ward. Is that the right ward, Miss Smith?
No, it's not. It wasn't the 20. I think it was the 24th Ward.
Oh, okay. Do him like they did Miss Bauer, Betty. Go down fighting, Betty, because he did y'all wrong. You stayed in that ward, Miss Brown, and your home was there. And for him to do this to you is wrong and criminal, Miss Smith. Like I said, Freema Bosie must pay. And Miss Smith, comment on this, too. You were talking about recreation for the children. They went out there, Miss Smith, and voted for Proposition B. You mark my word, Miss Smith, you think you're going to get a free ride with that recreation, but you're going to pay dearly for what you voted on. You're not going to get what you think you're going to get. But, Miss Smith, you comment on Proposition B and see how what that's going to come through for those children on North Side and South Side. And like I say, Miss Brown, go down fighting. Recall Freeman Bosie Sr. Show him what to make him pay for what he did to you in that ward, Miss Brown. Thank you, Miss Smith.
Thank you. Well, Proposition P passed as we predicted that it would. We're going to stay tuned to see what happens with the money. The facilities are to be built. It's my understanding that you will be charged to utilize these facilities. And therefore, the question becomes, how does it help the young people in our community? Or maybe they're not being built in anticipation of these young people who are of limited means even being in the community. And maybe that's why we have the crime that exists in our community, why it's being allowed to exist, so that people can simply just move out of the community. So it looks like we have one elected official on the phone, and we're going to get to him right now. We're going to hear from Mr. Troop. Good morning.
Good morning, Harry.
Oh, it's hot this morning.
It's really been good, you know. And I hear people talking about the churches, and I hear people talking about women and single parent households and female heads of households. But I don't hear anybody talking about the absentee black male in this equation. You know, black women and their babies. Black women are not parthenogenic. They don't have babies by themselves. There's a black male in this equation. And I think that to just say, well, now that we have the black woman have the baby, that the male has no obligation or responsibility to create an environment that is wholesome and friendly for his woman and child. And I think that's a critical issue. That you can't just jump in on the church and say that it's church's problem. The church is not the problem. The problem is black men not thinking before they act and then having the consequences fall on black women and children. The other thing is about the young man that called earlier. I wasn't going to get involved in that. And he said that he didn't think there was no organized effort to displace black people. There's been an organized effort.
Can you hold on until after the break?
Yeah.
All right. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. Sister Talker is still under the weather. We're hopeful that she will be back with you tomorrow. This is yours truly, Irene J. Smith. This is WGNU 920. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Oh, baby, 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 baby.
Oh, watch out.
You better stop the things you do.
All right.
Hey, hey. I ain't lying.
All right. Queen Latifah.
No, I ain't lying.
She has grown up into quite a young lady. All right. Let's go back and see what Alderman Troop is saying.
Yes, Irene. You know, it's really unfortunate. You know, that when you look at downtown St. Louis. When I was a kid, downtown Market was the business district for black people.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Robinson, you look at Clayton, you look at Briston, you look at Spanish Lake, you look at all of those areas, Mitcham Park, all of those areas, Berkeley, Ferguson, Florida, all of those areas, you had black people then in the city of St. Louis, the near south side, Rutgers, Crownlet, all of that. All of those areas were black people, and all of that was moved with urban renewal. If you look at Jefferson Street, just start at Lafayette and go all the way to St. Louis Avenue. That was virtually all black when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think the brother might
The brother, and when that's been urban and black people, they call it urban renewal, but it's really black removal going on for the last 75 years.
Yeah, there's a book that I might suggest for the brother who said that he didn't believe it. I would suggest that he read the book. It's documented. It's his historical context called Disappearing Communities by John Wright.
That's
the historian John Wright.
Mm-hmm. And it talks about early downtown, this St. Louis and everything, all of the stuff that happened even before the war. Since the war, and just go all the way back, you had the Spanish land grant back in 1793. It's in that book. It's in the book.
I mean, you look at the area out there, and I can remember two elderly African American, Native American women as I was a young county counselor, and they were just holding on to their land out there in West County. I mean, our people controlled and owned a lot of the land out there.
And so when you sit up and think, say, or even imply that things are happening to you, and there's not a plan, that's not the case. The other thing, Irene, I just want to say, in terms of the other young man talked about the recidivism rate, and I think it's too late then when you start talking about the recidivism. I think you got to be proactive in terms of dealing with the crime, and that's dealing with the courts and the police. And I hope that there'll be some movement shortly to make the police more responsible and responsive to the problem confronting the black community, the environment itself.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, callers, for holding. I'm going to get to you. I'm trying to keep up the order in which these call in. I believe Bill is next.
Yeah. Thanks, Ms. Brown. But I don't have
Ms. Brown's not here today.
I'm sorry, Ms. Smith. I'm sorry.
I know Smith Brown there. You know, he's common last name.
I'm thoroughly sorry.
I know.
I waited for over 45 minutes.
That's okay.
No problem. But I don't have any solutions. I'm an older black man. I'm in my early 60s. I was born and raised in the city of St. Louis.
So,
went to college, high school, grammar school, grade school, part of segregation, integration, the whole nine yards, the military, the whole nine yards. The problem I see with the black people in the city of St. Louis is balkanization. You have too many different organizations that want their little fiefdom unto themselves, and they just can't come together and get on one accord to solve this problem of crime. Crime is the linchpin in our community. And that's the problem that everybody that's black has to come together with and work on. Crime. I mean, All of the other issues, they count too. But to have 16 and 17-year-old boys flying down the street shooting one another like a James Cagney movie is totally ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? It doesn't, you know, we talk about developing our communities
right.
and this new construction. It doesn't
right.
mean anything because our people
right.
will not be here
right.
if this violence continues as it is in our community.
Right.
And we can build as many new houses,
right.
as many condos,
right.
as many new grocery stores
right.
or new shopping areas. But if this issue of crime is not curtailed, if we do not get it under
right.
control,
right.
we're in trouble.
I come from one of the older black families in the city of St. Louis. My grandfather was born right out there where you talked about the ladies in the county, out in Old Chesterfield.
Oh, yes.
And I've got pictures of my grandfather marching around Tandy Field in 1917 when he was inducted into the Army, when parades and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm trying to raise also with this crime in this black community, black people in St. Louis and in America, too, are going to have to come to the realization, what do they want to be? Do they want to be Americans or do they want to be outside the situation? You see what I'm trying to get? They can't have it both ways. They're going to have to cut to the chase, and you talk about the eminent domain. They've been doing that for years, like the alderman said. That's nothing new. But the consensus is back to crime, crime, crime. Blacks want to be anti-American. I'm anti-American on occasion. But most of all, I love my community. But this criminal activity is ridiculous. It's a pox on our house.
It is. It really does. It has to stop.
You have a good day, dear.
Okay, you too. And I guess the difference, just talking about the eminent domain, The difference is, and this is one of the things that Rob Baraka talked about when he came and he spoke at the Organization of Black Struggles annual event in January several years ago. The problem is, in the past, we were fighting against the white power structure with eminent domain. Now we have situations where our own people are sponsoring legislation that is removing individuals from their community. And so therein lies the difference. And that's why it is so odious when you have this situation such as you have with Ms. Betty Lou Brown, who has been active in her community, has done everything to benefit her community, and now she is being displaced from her community as if though she has no worth. I'm going to go to Docket, who wants to talk about jobs. Go right ahead, brother.
Yes, good evening, Irene. This is Docket.
It's morning, brother. It seemed like evening, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
You know, Irene, I recall back in the time when you ran for mayor and me and others was there supporting you. It was an issue that I spoke of then that I'm still involved with, and that's jobs for black workers in the building and construction industry.
And particularly with respect to Metro.
And respect to Metro. And in fact, any other industry or entity such as Metro that will employ and utilize the services of the building and construction workers and et cetera. In St. Louis, the black folks are 179 strong now, and we comprised of the vast majority of black people as a people in the city of St. Louis now. Now, when you look at this, when you talk about the construction that's going on in our community and all, it's being done, but it's done in an absence of black workers. When you look at the building and the construction industry, I'm going to cite one example of that, and that's the Pipe Fitters Union, and that would be a local 562. Historically and currently, they only utilize the services of or employ or utilize 1% black workers. And so I talk with any number of people there, and I speak often and make myself available at the Metro's board meetings on a regular basis, and the next one is going to be December the 15th. But the point I'm making, Irene, and Bill Monroe and many of other callers have hit on this topic and all, we have to work in this building and construction industry because those are jobs that pay tens of thousands of dollars on a yearly basis, and that they allow these white workers to come into our community that are predominantly black, and they're able to buy these 6x6s now. They used to drive these 4x4s. They have these cell phones, and et cetera. So I'm working on a program, Irene, still working on that same program that I talked with you about a year or so ago, when the last time that you ran for mayor, is that we have to take a look at why are black workers, black people, not being brought into the building and construction trades. And there's some 22 of those trades. Until that happens, that we're going to forever be scraping the bottom if we are able to get one of those minimum wage jobs,
mm-hmm.
when we need a living wage job.
Exactly. So the absence of adequate economic resources contributes to crime in our community.
You're absolutely right, because just landing on the land now, I'm a native St. Louis and come up in Carscore Village and et cetera, and I know that you did, we did, and others now, is that when it comes time to Christmas time, black folks sit around all year, many of us, I should say, not black folks in general, but many of us sit around all year long with no money or no economic means to be able to buy the things that our family, our children, our loved ones need. And when it comes to this Christmas thing, this Santa Claus thing, folks go out and they're going to steal, beg, or do whatever they can to make sure that our children, their children, like, have something for Christmas as well. And so I just want to encourage Irene. I know that you've been out there on the forefront of this struggle, and you thoroughly, like, understand, you know, what I'm talking about in this regards. Until we get together, you know, as a people, like black people in a city where we are now the black majority now, and we keep allowing all this ballpark village, all this construction that went on with the Savage Center and others and all, that's now called the Scott Trade Center and all, and we have entities like Metro, where they just spent some $674 million on construction and all, and that I've talked with them about their exclusion of black workers from that workforce. Irene, I want to thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Brother Docker just mentions, you know, we need to have, as the other brother, I believe it was Slip, who indicated, we also need to have jobs in our community. Callers, I see you. I'm going to get to you. I'm going to hold down my comments to give you an opportunity to make yours before I get out of here. But stay tuned. This is the Liz Brown Show, the morning wake-up call. Sister Talker is still under the weather. This is yours truly, Irene J. Smith, sitting in for her. Howard and I will be back with you after the break.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
This WGNU Global News Update is brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Mexican President Vicente Fox fainted yesterday at a farewell party for him at his ranch in central Mexico and was rushed to a hospital. Later, doctors said heat from the sun caused Fox's dizzy spell and he was pronounced in good health after a medical evaluation. Earlier Sunday, former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi was hospitalized after he fainted while giving a speech in Tuscany. He was given some medical tests and doctors said he had an irregular heartbeat. Considered the richest man in Italy, Berlusconi was on trial last week for fraud in connection with media business deals. Meanwhile, a Honolulu police officer who crashed his motorcycle while escorting President Bush during his visit to Hawaii has died. 30-year-old Steve Favella was escorting the president's motorcade as it made its way to Hickam Air Force Base last week. Favella crashed into a pole while trying to avoid two other motorcycle officers whose bikes skidded and crashed on the pavement. And that's a WGNU Global News Update. I'm Peyton Colston. This update's been brought to you by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me right after the 10 o'clock news here on AM 920, WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You're running around. You know better, baby. I can't stand it, cause you're putting me down. I put a spell on you.
Ooh, we need to put a spell on this crime.
Cause you're mine.
All right, we're going to see what Mary has to say. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. How are you? Last time I saw you was 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, over there looking at those TVs and things.
Yeah, I was socializing, man.
Yeah, you was buying, too.
Yeah, taking care of my little kitties.
Right. You know,
we're talking about in our community. We're talking about the Sears right there on
Natural
Bridge and Union.
Yeah, they have some good sales over there, so I hope the people go over there and support the brother.
Yeah.
This is not what I call you for, but do you have a lot of rabbits in your neighborhood just running all across the yards?
Well, I have rabbits, geese, rats, coon.
Oh my God, you have everything. Coons and the rabbits, they scary. I go out in my backyard, here come a rabbit and two, three little babies with it.
Yeah, I stay near Bellefonte and Calvary Cemetery, so.
I can understand, but I've never seen that many in this neighborhood, and I've been here for 32 years.
Maybe there's somebody raising them in your neighborhood.
Yes, but listen, I was following up on what Rick the Doctor was saying.
Uh-huh.
I'm just hoping that black men can get more jobs. Because I noticed they're throwing these houses up. One week I passed going to church, and they were fixing to construct some houses. Next week they had them throwed up there. I'm wondering, the houses are put up so fast, I know they can't be too much good as quick as they put them up. And there must be a lot of people with lots of money because they're certainly buying them. I hear most of them are 150 and up. Am I correct, Irene?
Yes, ma'am, you're correct.
And I just would like to see black people stick together and say, until you hire my people with a hammer, I never seen a black man working on those houses. Maybe they do, but I haven't seen any. Mm. And they come in our neighborhoods and build those houses, and our black people working and struggling to pay for them. We should insist that these companies hire our people if they're going to come doing construction, especially on homes they expect us to purchase.
I think you're absolutely right.
And if we could get together and do that, that would be a plus for us as a community. And some of those people are not going to be able to pay for those homes. They're going to fall down before they can pay for them because they're not constructed well, okay? They're putting the cheapest of fabric. They look pretty, but they're putting the cheapest of material in those homes. And 20 years, I doubt if most of them will still be standing.
I think you're probably very right about that. I agree with that, Mary. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Dodge.
Hey, how's it going, Irene?
It's going good. I'm up this morning. I can move about. I can see. I can hear. I can talk. And I can smell.
Oh, that's good. I used to live in St. Louis, but I moved up here to Chicago.
All right. Chi-town.
Uh-huh. And I tell you, the I was in the St. Louis over this past weekend. The weather was beautiful. I think the problem is, Irene, in the black community, the reason why we have so much crime, you hit it on the head, it's economics. And another reason why there's so much crime in the black community is because of a loss. It started back in slavery. It's a loss of culture, you know. And if you look, Irene, at the Asian community, the Arab community, the Mexican community, see, these immigrants, they came here, they kept their culture, and they stayed together and worked together because, you know, the crime rate is lower in their community. The problem with us is that we as black people, and it goes back to slavery, we had our language, our religion, and our culture stripped from us. So what we have done is we have adopted this European culture, way of life, and that's a criminal culture. It's a criminal-based culture itself because this system doesn't even work well for white people. And well, how we can get out of this, the first thing that what black people have to do is become more supportive and helpful and more respectful of each other. And two, and with the businesses and all that, and I find it, you know, amazing that every black community that I've gone to in the country is that you've got 95% of the businesses. Well, before I go there, is now if you look at history, the purpose of slavery was to create wealth for white people. And today, you drive through any black neighborhood, and 95% of the businesses, I'm talking about the banks, the grocery stores, the drug stores, the credit union, are controlled by white people. And these are the same people that own these businesses, some of them that don't want to give us jobs, that don't want to give our children jobs. And another thing is that what we need to do is we have to start opening our own businesses. And also, too, if you look at it, in the white community, we could never, as black people, open banks, grocery stores. In the white community, they wouldn't support us. So, and I find it an insult is that, you know, like if you go into some of these, in the black community, some of these stores and these businesses, the white people, they treat blacks like they're going to steal, yet we go in there and spend our money.
That's very true. Dodge, I'm going to have to move on. Your points are very, some of them are very well taken, and I do issue a challenge to those in our community who do have the economic means, you know, our entertainers and our athletes and others who have made money in the community. Invest in your community.
Right.
Thank you for your points, and I'm going to move on to let Cedric, who has been holding, get his input in, and thanks, Dodge, for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
Cedric,
how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, I think the fact is, I've noticed in the city, no one wants to be an individual. Everybody wants to dress alike, look alike.
That's sound alike.
And
that's
no,
a sweeping indictment that is not correct.
I see it with the youth. They walk
you said,
down my street every day to school.
You said everybody
in the
community.
Every most of the youth want to look alike. Just be totally alike. Nobody wants to be an individual.
My
solution is.
Come on to it, because I dare say that when we were coming up, we all were kind of looking alike, too.
I just went outside 2 or 3 days ago.
And how did you dress when you were coming up?
These little boys, it was 1-12, 1-14, when the other one couldn't be no more than 15, trying to break into this car across the street.
Okay, did you stop them?
Oh, yeah, they stopped because I kept looking at them.
Okay.
And they knew they were wrong because the window was missing.
Okay.
And the youngest one was in there trying to break the car down to get it started.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the thing is, I noticed in the city is lack
of... Wait
a minute,
and after you did that, what else did you do?
Well, I mean, you short on time. I want to get to the biggest point.
Did you call the police?
No, they left.
Okay.
They left. I didn't want to call the police because they didn't commit a crime. They got out the car and left.
They tampered
with the vehicle.
They did. Is that, and tampering is a crime.
This is true, but they left.
Okay, so, go ahead on, Cedric.
Okay, but the main thing that I notice in the city, man, is the lack of education in the schools on how to be a responsible adult. There's no classes on finances, from 7th grade on up to 12th, you should have a half a credit every grade level from 7th to 12th on how to be a responsible adult and an individual. It has to be there because the women and the families in the city do not have the time to teach their kids because they're either working one or two jobs, and then after that you're tired, you got problems, you got bills, you got your kids wanting to do this. You don't have the time, and the means is right there in the school, which they're there more than at home. So I think the biggest problem in the city of St. Louis is accountability in these schools to teach these young kids how to be individuals and intelligent and observe. You have to have those things in order to go. You have to pay attention. You can't be like somebody else. You have to be an individual. And when you're an individual, then you'll start caring about the next person. But if you see the next person as yourself, oh, well, I don't care. I don't care about myself. And I don't care about him either. And that's the problem.
All right, Cedric. Thank you for your call. Joseph.
Yes, how you doing? My first time calling, and I was basically hearing a conversation about why crime is going on in the black community. Through my observation, I think because throughout the years, we've let the media glamorize being disrespectful, glamorize poverty, basically glamorize being poor. So a lot of these kids nowadays look at it like, hey, it's like a rite of passage to be as raggedy as possible, be as disrespectful as possible. And I think the parents that are raising the kids, you know, when we were growing up, your mother and father used to turn off the radio when something bad was said. Now you got the parents listening to it right along with the kids. So I think there's a lot of things that go about that I guess go along with the problem, but I think that's one of the main issues as far as letting the media dictate what's glamorous and what's going on in the African American community as far as what I can see.
I think you're very much on point there, Joseph. We have reached an age where everything is glamorized, and like you said, the beat is going on, and they're cussing and
yeah.
and maligning black women, and the parents are bobbing their heads right along with the children.
A lot of things like in 1972, that's when the murder rate was set. In 1992, it was broken. I heard people saying all the time when I was a kid, my mother and father used to beat me, used to whoop me. We didn't do all that. Okay, why didn't we take that same example and pass it on to our kids? Now it seems like the people are saying, well, we didn't get away with it. You letting your kids get away with it.
Well, the thing of it is, nowadays, many parents say, well, when they attempt to do that, they get charged with child abuse. And then that's another whole discussion about the ability of parents to discipline their children, what form that discipline should take, and rather not the fact that parents are no longer able to whip their children, no longer able to spare the rod, has that contributed, while at the same time the police is free to kill your child? Thank you for calling, Joseph. This has been the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. We're hopeful that Liz will be back with you tomorrow. This has been yours truly, Irene J. Smith. Stay strong. Have a good day.
There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.